For the latest news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring the Boston Bash Brigade, visit our website at www.b3crew.com.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BostonBash Brigade. Follow us on Twitter under our respective pen names.
And don't forget to check out the rest of the Land of Esh programming, including the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues program.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 148, Gaming
Resistance is Futile.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston!
Wenches and you be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bash Brigade. I'm King Baby Duck.
Lil Onik.
Tag.
And joining us on a very special episode is one of our good buddies. We've known him since the Salem State era. He's supposed to be joining us soon in the Land of Esh, which is something we've been saying for over a year right now.
Yeah, it seems like that.
Seems like forever.
It's me,
Phil. Yeah.
Hi, everybody. Sorry, I was having sex with a sheep while I was listening to the hot pre-show action that was going on in this discussion. We were having some pretty sexy chats, and
is that
you know what they say, sheep happens.
Is that going to be part of your children's act now?
Of course, it's always a. Oh yeah, you like that, don't you? Oh, sorry. I'm busy over here, guys. I'm busy.
Oh, we're glad with your busy schedule you can join us.
Yeah, no, someone has to take up the mantle of Michael Jackson since he's gone. Someone needs. I got my childhood taken away too, and I want to live in Neverland and sleep with kids and feed them Jesus juice. That's the kind of action I like.
Yeah, I'm almost dead in a game that I can't talk about.
A game of masturbation.
Yeah. I almost died. I'm not going to finish that sentence.
Did you almost die in your pants?
Now I have to get new underwear. Crap.
Now that's a sticky situation.
That is kind of fucked up right there, kids.
It's that time of the year again. It's the midway point. We've seen a bunch of video games come out.
Not midway the company, right? Midway of the year, okay. Yeah.
Yes. Midway does not exist anymore.
And not midway the Chicago airport.
It's, yeah, exactly.
Ah.
Yeah, not that kind of midway.
Are we just, let's for the rest of the show, all we are going to do now is label places called Midway.
Isn't that called the taint?
That is a place called Midway. That is also cleavage. So, all right, let's move on.
All right, so we're going to be talking about our favorites, our least favorites so far of 2012, a couple of things going on within the video game realm, and our predictions or what we're looking forward to the most in 2012 in the realm of video gaming.
I have anxiety about this right now.
Why do you have anxiety about it?
Because I'm kind of scared. Like, what's going to happen, like, in the next, like, 6 months? It's scary.
Right. Well, first off, Tag, do you have any predictions about the next 6 months in the realm of gaming?
Every prediction that everybody has ever had so far, more of the same exact stuff from more of the same exact people. I look at the indie developers, and they, for me, are the most hope with all the different games coming out for them. So
I agree with that statement. I totally agree with you.
And there's a new console coming out that's specifically designed for indie, so I am actually, if you want to ever see me play the console, that'll probably be the only console you'll see me on.
The Ouya, right?
I can't even pronounce it.
Ouya.
Ooh,
yeah.
At least it's less embarrassing to say than the Nintendo Wii. Or the Nintendo Wii U.
I love playing with my Wii. I play with my Wii every day in the morning before I get out of bed.
Wow, you're a morning person.
Yeah, I really am a morning person, but that's a different subject altogether. That's a different show.
Fun yes. times.
Yes, that's your brunch with dicks, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, I have brunch with dicks, yeah.
So let's get into the first part of the show, the best and worst so far. Let me ask you guys first. Are you guys in the mood to praise a game right now, or are you in the mood to shit on something?
I mean, I'm always in the mood to shit on something, but I kind of want to talk about what I loved first is where I'm kind of leaning towards.
All right, Teg?
Whatever everybody else wants. I'll poop or talk about stuff that I don't want to poop on. Specifically, duty.
Duty.
I guess I'll take good news first, more or less.
All right, let's do good news. So we're going to first talk about physical releases, and by that it means you actually have to get out of your house, go into your car, drive to the video game store, and buy these sorts of video games. The first thing we'll talk about is, what do you think has been the best physical release of 2012 in the realm of video gaming? Let's see, Issues Guy, how about you go first on this one?
No, I have to go first. Well, when you said my first physical release, I did first think about this prostitute that got released from the local penitentiary. But then you said that you had the whole video games thing, so it really messed me up. This was tough because it kept coming back to one game for me, and regardless of how unhappy I might have been with the way this series ended, I can't neglect my love for the Mass Effect series and Mass Effect 3 in general. I think it A+ storytelling minus the end. We can talk about the end in a different. That's a different show altogether.
I still haven't even played.
Okay, so whatever, it really does the perfect job, I think, of making you feel I mean I love BioWare and I love the game, and it's hard to overlook. I kind of didn't want to say Mass Effect 3, and I kept looking for another game I liked better, but considering how much considering how much I loved Mass Effect 2, and I think it improved on everything that Mass Effect 2 did with the cover system, and actually didn't feel like I was just running around in circles shooting people. It actually felt like it felt like a shooter game.
Yeah.
And I love for the most part how the story worked, and especially how it started out and finally getting to see the Reapers kick some ass. The only thing there were some things I didn't like about the game. I think BioWare is getting kind of lazy in some ways, but but I still, it's hard for me to say that just because it completed one of my favorite video game trilogies of all time. And I don't know what BioWare is going to do now for my space BioWare fix. I kind of hope that they give up on this whole Old Republic thing, because I don't really feel like playing an MMO, and they go back and make a real Knights of the Old Republic Part 3 and get back to, you know, where they started and make love to me. So do that to me, BioWare. Do it. But I do like Mass Effect, and so far that gets my vote for my favorite game so far this year from a physical mainstream game. Bam!
All right. Yeah, that is a pretty good choice. I have to admit that. Although Bluonic is making a really weird face right now.
Whose finger is where?
My finger's in my butt right now.
Alright.
So maybe I'll go next.
Yes.
I think for me, the game that really surprised me, even though I was a little bit worried about the fact that it wasn't being done by the original people who did the first two. And this is another game that has a 3 in the title. And for me, that has to be Max Payne 3.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I was very impressed by how this game turned out to be like. I mean, this was a solid return from one of probably the character that helped make Rockstar Games what it is right now. I'm talking more before Grand Theft Auto 3... Max Payne came around and showed us how to do or how to tell a proper story in a video game and bring us like bullet time and other inventive ways to for players to actually play a video game. And I love the first one, I love the second one, and And when I heard there was going to be a third one, I was so excited. But then they kept pushing it back and pushing it back. They pushed it back for what, 3 years, didn't they?
They Duke Nukem that shit. It felt like it was like Duke Nukem. Like, you know, like in the sense of like pushing it back. But I mean, like the actual game play itself and seeing that I was able to beat Max Payne 3 through and through, it felt like it was like a 12-hour game. That's how long it was.
Yeah.
And Tag, you remember those days when we used to play like Half-Life, the first Half-Life, and it took us like 3 days to beat the whole game?
And then I memorized the game and I got it down to about 12 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's one of those things where it's like, where the game itself is so, you know, enriched with, like, you know, levels and whatnot, and not how, like, Half-Life now has done it now, where they did, like, Half-Life Episode 1 and 2.
Which is a failed project, exactly. And they're not going to do that, but thank God.
But that's one of those things where it's like, back in the day when there was no expectation of the game, it came out and it just caught like wildfire. That's what I'm kind of looking for again. And Max Payne was able to bring back that in the third game, where they were able to do so much more with it and make the story better.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was happy about that one.
Although I will say the one thing that I was really missing from Max Payne 3 were those nightmare levels from the first two. Because it really added to like the suspense and mind games that were happening to Max. Like, I remember in the first one where you got to follow that little short road of like trickling blood in order to get to like the baby's room where you heard it crying, and it made it seem like it was Max who killed his wife and baby. Was it baby boy, baby girl? I keep forgetting that.
Boy.
Baby boy, yeah.
It's boy.
And then in Max Payne 2, there were those other levels where, like, the rooms would start warping and your friends would start trying to kill you, and then bullets would just be flying everywhere, and you know, scenery would just be destroyed. And I was hoping to see something like that in Max Payne 3, but that was not the case. But despite that, great storytelling, enough twists and turns, and even a couple of fuck you moments that actually made me have to stop playing the game because I was so pissed off that they actually did that. And if you've ever played this video game, you might know what part I'm talking about.
I don't even remember what part you're talking about. I gotta replay the game. All right,
so maybe
jerk.
So maybe, is it okay if I spoil it?
Go for it. Yeah,
no, whatever.
No, not the end. Probably like, so there's this woman that you've got to save that's been
never mind.
I know exactly what part you're talking about.
I know. All right, now I understand exactly what you're saying.
Whatever. I'll probably never get around to it with work. Right. Go.
It's a really great game. It was number two on my list. It's a great game this year, and it surprised the hell out of me. I agree with you 100%. I didn't know what to expect out of it, and when I first started playing, I'm like, I love this, and by the end of the first couple of days of playing it, I was completely hooked, and it was one of those games I couldn't stop playing until I was done with it.
Yeah, same here, because I also beat it in like the 13-hour time period that it took for Bluonic.
But now, seeing that I know it, I was able to go back and do it in a harder thing, but faster on that, so it was not too bad. But the game itself, it's pretty amazing. The graphics that they added to it is so much better.
And the ability to hide the loading screens behind the FMVs.
I mean, that was the first thing that I noticed when we were at PAX East this year, was when we got to go in there and they were like, hey, you know, check out the game and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you're letting us play the game? No, this is no way. And then they're like, okay, let's play the game. So I'm playing the game and I was like, huh, that's funny. I don't see any loading symbol, and there's a video playing. You sons of bitches! You hid it behind the video! And he goes, shh! No, we didn't! No, we didn't! That didn't happen! No, you guys did it! You did! Okay, we did.
Yes, I got you!
Well, besides the whole single-player mode, it also had a really great multiplayer mode, too.
Yeah, the multiplayer is very, very different because of the fact that, you know, they are actually including the bullet time in the aftermath of it, so people can turn on bullet time in the middle of playing multiplayer, which I was always kind of figuring out how the hell were they going to do that, but apparently it affects everybody around that person, and it works pretty well. I like the setup of it, and it's not like anybody can really dominate in the game. It's, you know, you got to use the tactics of using cover, and hopefully your cover doesn't get blown up from behind you, you know, and get around people and drop them. But yeah, the game setup all together, Max Payne was beautiful.
Yeah. All right. So
Tank, do you want to go or do you want me to go?
I don't care. I'll go last. Yeah, sure.
All right, great. I have two type games that I want to say that, you know, were kind of tied with each other for my aspect.
Okay.
Because of the fact that I love Ghost Recon, Future Soldier. Ubisoft did a great job with it. There were still little issues because of the fact that, you know, when I was doing the beta mode, you know, like when they had the beta play and everything like that, they had issues with the servers. So it transcended over to the multiplayer a little bit with the server issues, but they've been updating it on a constant basis. So it's like, I probably feel bad for the guy that has to sit there and go, why, oh, why, you know, kind of like Tag over there.
Ah!
Exactly. So if there's some poor bastard or bastards or bastettes or whatever you want to call them, just sitting in a room, just making sure that they update everything, and when they find out what's going on with issues or any other such things like that, to update it, because when you go to the main screen, there's like two start screens on Ghost Recon Future Soldiers. There's one start screen where it has like the guy's face up close, and then sometimes you'll get the loading bar there, and that's where it's updating. You know, how usually when you go into Xbox 360, it'll pop up on there and says, hey, we've got an update. So sometimes it does that, sometimes it doesn't, and then it just does an update right there and stuff like that. Finally, the other thing that they incorporated was the goddamn Uplay. The one thing that pissed me off was when I played, Tom Clancy's...
Splinter Cell?
Splinter Cell, thank you. When I played Splinter Cell, they had a paper in there originally for, like, a beta test and whatnot to try it out for Ghost Recon, but yet that never happened and they kept on getting pushed and whatnot. But then they finally were able to come out with it this year, and, you know, it was well worth the wait for, in my opinion. But on the other spectrum is one of the games that really got kind of like a surprise, not like a surprise prison butt sex kind of thing, like, you know, that kind of thing, because that would
the
be
best
bad.
Sec?
What's ow!
I swear I didn't drop the soap this time! Why are you doing this to me? What from 505 Games is Sniper Elite, and Sniper Elite is amazing. It's one of those games that, especially if you were able to get the pre-order and whatnot, you got downloadable content to kill Hitler. And it's also just such a great thing to go and just keep killing Hitler. I'm sorry, I love, you know, just reliving that every moment of the day that I can. Next to that, it's... They upgraded it from what the original one was. Originally, it was like Rebellion and one other company, and now it's Rebellion and 505 Games. Now, the issue that I've had with 505 Games is they haven't had that strong of like a backbone of games that they came out with.
God, remember that Supremacy MMA game they came up with last year?
God, that was horrible. Top Gun. Just some of the games that they've put out.
That Top Gun was pathetic, yeah.
Yeah, it was really, like, when I downloaded that, I was like, what the hell is this bullshit? This is not, you know.
I'm like, at least they played the song.
Yeah.
Now we're danger zone.
No.
Danger zone.
We're thinking about the actual old video game remake Top Gun, not the movie Top Gun, yeah. And they didn't have voices in the original song.
I think they were trying to be like, what do you call it there, the other game, the other plane.
Ace Combat?
Yeah, they were trying to be Ace Combat-ish, but it was not working. But for the most part, with the Sniper Elite game, it was like if they took Mortal Kombat... the newest game of Mortal Kombat, because they did the X-ray, you know, moves and stuff like that. When you punch somebody, it'd break their bones, and you could see it in an X-ray fashion.
Yeah.
Picture that with a bullet going through somebody's, a Nazi's head.
Yeah,
or a Russian.
Mixed with a little bit of, like, that Arkham Asylum feel, like, when they slow down for that last hit Batman's gonna put in.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to talk a little bit about Sniper Elite later when we get to one of our other topics about how to make something else cool. But, Sniper Elite 2 was... I don't even like games like that, and that game made that type of game fun to me.
Especially if you get the guy right in the testicles.
Oh, my God.
You see the testicles just explode on impact.
We spent hours trying to do that.
Yeah, but I was able to do it, didn't I? Didn't I not take?
Duh. After quite a few map changes and a few unique circumstances, yes, you were actually able to make the perfect
decision. No, that's because I was on, like,
for you not to fail.
The highest level and whatnot to drop the bullet right in the right friggin' section. But I mean, the whole concept of it is to, like, you know, take out the Nazis or to stealth around, you know, the Nazis or Russians, because you're basically, what it is you're the first American soldier for the, how would I want to put this? The Cold War, really. It's like you're the first kind of like undercover soldier for the Cold War because of the fact that you're dealing with the Nazis losing at the end of the war, but also you're dealing with the Russians trying to take all the technology that they possibly can obtain from the Nazis so that, you know, it starts the arms race and whatnot from, like, the 50s on up.
It's like, I better take this. Yoink! Yeah. Yoink! Yoink!
Oh, V2 rocket! Perfect! Let's blow shit up! So, with that said, I mean, there were maybe some complications with the game, like, you know, the online play, although it is kind of interesting because you can work with another fellow sniper and stuff like that on like, kill tally and a couple other things. The only problem that I had with it was they didn't have, like, an actual one where you could do, like, you know, a runaround like Call of Duty where there was, like, team deathmatch or something along those lines, because I felt that there could have been something in the interest of doing that. I mean, they would just have to take out the bullet time. It would just make it a hell of a lot more interesting that, you know, you'd have to be able to move around in a certain area to get a sniper shot off. But that's just me. But all in all, that game is kind of like tied with Ghost Recon and stuff like that. It was just, those were my two release favorites as of the first 6 months of 2012. So that's what I have to say about that.
Awesome.
So check.
Good picks.
Crap, I gotta find a safe place to hide. What can you say? I'm trying to shoot at people. Physical games, for any of you who've actually played PC, you know you're probably doing Steam. So, what is physical on there? Oh yeah, I coughed it out earlier. The best game that I would say release-wise would probably, everybody's gonna know this one, Skyrim. It has to be Skyrim.
That's 2011, not 2012.
Yeah, I would have.
Yeah,
I would have told Skyrim too. That's why I kind of just let that pass, because of course, yeah, Sky. But Arkham City was better. But that's a different topic.
I wouldn't say that.
Wait. Was Skyrim released this year for PC?
No, it was released last year.
Okay.
Was it?
Yeah.
All right. Damn. So now I gotta find a new PC game. Here, let me run into the combat and get killed and look at my Steam list.
Wait, do your famous,
what have I played that's this year? That's actually not an easy one if it's Skyrim, because I've been going back and playing old ones. I've been jumping back to, like, Fallout and the like.
Yeah, this is what Tank does a lot. He's just like, you know what? Fuck this game. This game sucks ass. I'm going backwards.
Yes. crap. That game isn't either. So there's like Dungeon Defenders. Wait, that was all DLC and released 2 years ago. Yeah. Firefall's in beta, so I can't say that.
Well,
you technically could, but
yeah,
but we don't know officially if it, when it's going to come out. We could take a guess maybe by the end of 2012. But, like, when I was checking out the GameStop list earlier and whatnot, I was kind of like, what the F? Like, there's a lot of games that says 12/31/2012. I'm like, that game's going to get pushed. That game's going to get pushed. That might actually go back and get pushed again because they're fucking stupid.
Yep.
Yeah, the list, I'm liking the free-to-plays more. When it comes down to it, I don't think I'm really playing any AAA games that have come out this year.
Okay.
I know that's weird.
It's for Mass Effect 3 too. I'll take him. I'll take him on my side.
Oh, you want me? No, I heard that game is horrible. I specifically.
This is what I'm going to defend myself a little bit. The story is the weakest of all three. It's the only one that really does feel like a continuation. But I guess why I have to give it my vote was just because I believe they really did improve the gameplay mechanic of the game itself. And they got rid of those extra stages that were useless in Mass Effect 1 and 2 as well. But I didn't like how the whole fucking thing ended either. No.
Well, when it came down to it, the reason I'm not getting it, I pretty much banned it in my eyes. It's, I don't think for the price point that they put, and with all the extra DLC, I think the best deal would have been to wait for the Game of the Year edition and just get everything at one point.
For like $30.
Well, I'd not pay $60 for all the DLC and everything now. It's just I want to pay $60 and then go back and re-download all the DLC.
That's why I rent things. That's why I have GameFly to just rent it. And then I'm probably going to buy it when it comes out for the Wii U because I hope all the DLC will be included in that.
The DLC is going to be on the Wii U version.
Well, that's what they did with the last Call of Duty, which is you did Call of Duty Elite, where you pay the $50 basically there. So everything that they've come out with till now, and maybe probably until the end of that runs out for me, I'm getting all that DLC that comes out. For the Call of Duty.
The only AAA game, now that I can think of it, that I've played, although I don't want to give it my endorsement, and I know people will freak out for this, is Diablo 3. Oh. That is actually this year, but I played it for a bit. I started to like it, but then they started adjusting the very hardest mode, so it's a lot harder to get gear, which is obviously focused towards you're supposed to use their auction house, which is real-life money in microtransactions, but I already paid $60 for the game. So my list is more of the disappointments of this year. Okay. I list off, I played a game, Blacklight Retribution. I saw that being reviewed. I was like, well, let's try it. It's a free-to-play game. It functions a lot like your, what's the one that you said you liked this year, where you could actually build the gun piece by piece?
Oh, Ghost Recon?
It functions like that. It's a free-to-play model. You can literally buy the nozzle, like the barrel to the gun, buy the actual hilt to the gun, like all the different sites. Literally, you put it together piece by piece based on microtransactions. Well, what if I don't want to pay microtransactions and I don't want to waste the time actually building the gun? Well, the points that you get in the game can also be used towards renting the guns that you actually want to do. So now you can rent parts of the gun and try out the different things before either A, you pay money for it, or B, you save up all your points and eventually buy the gun to use outright. And it's an amazing game.
Oh, that's interesting.
The extra function they put in it, there's no mini-map whatsoever, no radar whatsoever. Basically what you do is use this virtual reality that shows you everybody through walls, and it lasts about 5 seconds total. You can't shoot while you're in it, but you get a sight of looking around where everybody is, and you can try to run to them and hope they're there. So the gameplay's fast and constant. I've fallen in love with that game in a different game that I am not allowed to mention that I've played.
So. Hey, Chegg.
Yes.
Quick question. Now, what was that game that we used to play that was a real-time strategy, and not Command & Conquer, but it was like Command & Conquer, but it had the Zerg alien, or is that what I'm thinking of?
StarCraft?
StarCraft?
Did that come out the end of last year, or did that come out this year?
No, StarCraft was last year. Otherwise, StarCraft would have been the first one on my list because I am still obsessed with that game. It's just I can't sit down and play that like hardcore. I can sit down and play two or three matches maybe a day, and then I have to back off a lot like all the League of Legends ones.
Yeah.
They're just too fast-paced and too focused on what you're doing, and eventually, after two or three matches, I get burnt out and I have to take a break until the next day. So it's I jump between way too many games. But yeah, if you're a PC fan, definitely look on Steam. Blacklight Retribution. It's free. Give it a try. So,
would you say that's your pick for 22 downloadable title?
Yes. For right now, that is my pick that I would give. It's the best first-person shooter that mimics a Call of Duty that I've played that I haven't gone, wow, this is a Call of Duty clone. I want to kill myself. I'm having fun trying to piece together the guns that I have and renting all the pieces I can and trying different combinations without actually paying. And I'm about to start sending them money because I definitely support them.
Excellent.
So
fantastic.
All right.
Can we get off the? Can we get the things you can complain about? Because that
almost,
list is huge.
We're on downloadable stuff, and then we'll get to complain about games.
All right.
So, all right, Blonick, how about you? What's been your favorite downloadable title? Something that you bought from like Xbox Live Arcade or?
Oh crap! You had to ask me this, didn't you?
Yep.
Well. It's just been kind of hard for me to, like, download any recent games because there hasn't been really, like, I haven't had much money in my bank account to really go and do that. But I'm just checking down the list here. Well, I could say Gotham City Imposters. I did download that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It was good, but also it did have its weak points to it. Because, you know, everybody, because they were able to update their guns really in a fast manner,
mm-hmm.
they still didn't, like, kind of separate the herd. They didn't, like, if you were new and you jumped into a game, you are fucked. That's basically what the game is about. But I do like the concept that it's not, like, Batman versus Joker. It's the Joker's, like, bad guys versus Batman wannabes that try to follow Batman, but Batman doesn't give a shit about them.
Yeah. So basically the model's Battlefield 3. If you start playing halfway through, yeah, I'm sorry, you get the beginner guns while everybody's running around with, like, machine guns, rocket launchers.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, like, I saw Shank 2. Shank 2 was all right, but I didn't really download that game. It was fair, but it wasn't like the first one. It was maybe a little bit more complicated than with the actual moves and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I wasn't too pleased with that. But yeah, for the most part, that was like really like the only one that I've downloaded. I mean, I'm still waiting for Monday Night Combat or Super Monday Night Combat, the second one that's supposed to be coming out. I think it's already come out for PC right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's out on PC right now.
But yeah, the only thing. F-U, Tank, F-U.
I could play that. Wait, isn't that free to play, too?
Yep.
Oh, I could download that and play it right now.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I can't wait to buy you a freaking laptop, and then I can play it, you freaking jerk.
by any time. Drive all the way out to the island. I'm here.
Oh, yeah, I'll drive out to the island.
Is the smoke monster there?
No, the smoke monster is not here.
No,
I would make jokes
house.
About it, but anybody mom. Who's not watched might get that ruined.
But,
I was just about to spoil the whole last season of Lost, but I'll keep my mouth shut.
Whole series is amazing if you don't watch the last 10 minutes of the last episode. Mass Effect.
Yeah, exactly.
It is Mass Effect.
It's the best series ever if you ignore the very ending.
I had to tell one of my friends recently about that. Because Tag was telling me, it was like bringing over the box set of that and Fringe, and was like, we gotta watch this, man! Gotta watch it! And well, I'm watching it, like, I think we got through the second or third season of, like, Lost. And
We were into the second season of Lost,
yeah,
and you were wondering
season.
What the button was.
Yeah.
I wasn't telling you what the button was, and I think it was killing you.
Anyways, but more or less it got
And then I switched to Fringe.
You fucking jerk. Well, yeah, it got to that point where I was telling the kid, I was just like, well, apparently from what my cousin Teg says, he says, don't watch the last 10 minutes, otherwise it will ruin the whole thing and you will probably kill yourself.
Instead, watch like that special thing where you see Hurley pick up Walt and what's the other guy? No, on the DVD there's like that special thing where Hurley and, goddammit, the one who's on Person of Interest right now.
Michael? Was it?
Yeah.
Was it Walt's father, Michael, the guy that was in Oz?
No.
You mean the guy that played Zepp in Saw?
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, what's his name?
Yeah. Well, you know how there's that special, like post-ending on, like, the last DVD of Lost, final season?
Is this the stupid ones they showed on the Jimmy Kimmel show, which were all we were hoping Jimmy Kimmel, they're like, oh, there's alternate endings. Like, we watched the last 10 minutes, and as soon as the TV went black, we're all speechless. Like, they just murdered our mothers in front of us. Not saying anything. It's like, well, Jimmy Kimmel, at the end of his talk show, at the end of this, says he has 3 alternate endings, and they were all a joke. And we're sitting there, and we were so disappointed. We were really hoping they had made 2 other or 3 other endings they didn't show. And that ended, and we were sitting there like, okay, I'm going to drive home now. It's like Mass Effect. You see one, you're like, wait, that can't be it. This game has alternate endings. And then you go to YouTube and watch the other ones and go, wait, no, this is horrible.
Wait, it just has different colored smog.
Yeah, right.
that's the alternate endings. One's got the green smog, one's got the red smog, one's got the blue smog. But everything else is just the fucking same.
No, I still haven't played it, so I'm not going to actually watch the full ending. I know there's different color light shows, and that's it. So.
Okay, so...
on track.
Yeah. For me, for a downloadable title, that really surprised me. And this is something that might even take my Game of the Year pick at the end of 2012. It's called Fez. It was this old school looking game that opened towards multiple dimensions. So it looked like one of those old 8-bit side-scrolling games, but in order to solve puzzles, you had to flip the perception of the area you were in.
Whoa, hold on.
How do you spell that? F-E-Z?
F-E-Z, yes.
Okay, so you're saying that it wasn't Warp? Because I know that you kind of like that game, Warp, because... You were able to warp into the person's body and then explode their ass, like...
Oh, yeah, I remember. I saw this one. The little alien thing, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, but this was a different one. It was made by the same people, Trapdoor.
Yeah, all right. All right, I got it.
Same basis.
Yes. And it really went outside the box when it came to the puzzle solving, even going so far as to use devices outside of the Xbox to find these cubes or anti-cubes you had to collect before you get to the last level. Like, there's one point where you actually have to pull out your smartphone because there's a QR code in the back that will tell you exactly where this cube is in the room to find it.
No shit.
Weird. Nice.
And I like, too, that there was, like, this little helper dude that followed you around, but he just didn't help at all, really.
Oh, so he's like the little green asshole alien from the Flintstones?
Yeah, he was like a zoo. He was like, I don't know what this is.
Everything's based on the little green asshole fairy from Link, so they're all the same.
Yeah, yes. Basically it's Navi.
Yeah, it's all Navi.
It's an anti-Navi.
Or the asshole fairy. I'm going
fuck
with asshole
fuck you, Tinkerbell,
fairy.
Fuck you!
The worlds look beautiful, and I have to give props for the guy who did the soundtrack to this game. His name is Disasterpiece.
Oh, that's a great name.
And it's spelled with disaster, and then, peace as in peace and love. Together in one word. Amazing chiptune soundtrack, and I'm curious to see how this guy does the soundtrack live in concert. Hmm. And when you get to the ending, I don't want to spoil what happens in the ending. It is wicked trippy, like 2001 Space Odyssey ending trippy.
I'm tripping on acid, man.
But how it ends after that trippiness, it just puts a big fucking smile on your face. And that's something that I don't get often from these sorts of games. And honestly, as the title of my review for this game was, it gave me goosebumps. And not a lot of video games have done that to me this year in 2012.
Excellent. Nice.
Yeah. So, issues guy.
Yes. I like you, my DLC pick is also my favorite game this year so far, and it's The Walking Dead chapters 1 and 2. It's what I really love is I really love choose your own adventure games. What really got me in gaming when I was younger, obviously, was Pac-Man, Pong, and stuff. But at the time, watching those King's Quest games and the Space Quest games and all those early DOS games.
Okay, remember Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade?
Yeah, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. And there was a bunch of other ones. Monkey Island, the original Monkey Island.
Yes.
And those are what really grew my imagination for gaming. And I always loved point-and-click adventure games. I enjoyed a quarter of the Back to the Future games that Telltale did.
Come on, those are good. Most
of them are good. And I unfortunately am not playing it in the best medium. I played it on the Wii, which the control scheme was a little screwy. So I had it had a frame rate issue on playing it on the Wii. So I loved it, but I had some problems with the controls that gave me frustrations. And whereas The Walking Dead is designed for a console and then everything else is being based off that, so it really feels like it should be played with a controller. And I like that and appreciate that.
You see, I had the opposite feeling while I was playing it on Xbox. I felt like it was better with the mouse.
Yeah, that's...
I liked it with the controller because I like how you can map the different actions to the buttons to simulate a sort of action-like feel. Maybe it's just... even when I used
personal
to play...
Personal preference.
Yeah, exactly. Because when I used to play the old King's Quest games, I would be the only one in my family that would plug in a control stick. And I just like the feeling of being able to walk around with a joystick-like contraption. I'm old-fashioned. It harkens back to my Pac-Man days again. But this game...
Bringing back to Pac-Man. Wow.
and properly being able to move. But I love how it they chose to use the graphic novel world. I love how the graphics look and how the, how it really has a natural, like a drawn feel to it. And I love the way the, like in some of the zombie kills, how the blood looks when it's dripping. And it really gets your heart moving. And unlike Mass Effect, the decisions that you make in Chapter 1 really do affect Chapter 2. And it carries over. And I love that. I love Telltale's doing. This is their best effort to date, I will say, where they really have crafted a system that your decisions earlier in the game really do affect what happens later because, and I'm not going to spoil things, saving certain characters, not characters dying, who you decide to feed when you're starving. And I mean, maybe it's part of because I've just recently getting into reading the graphic novel and getting into watching the television show as well. So I'm kind of obsessed with this universe. I love how it's not necessarily focused on zombies. It's focused on the human interactions worth of characters. I've just had such a great time. In fact, I'm watching my girlfriend play it in the background right now while I'm doing this whole thing. I mean, I just like looking at it so much.
Is that why I'm hearing screaming half the time?
It's so
beautiful, but good job, Telltale. The only thing I got to say about those buttheads is, again, we were talking about this earlier, but communication is everything. When you say it's going to be a month for the next chapter, and it's in the month comes, at that point, post something that says, okay, we're delaying because we want to make the game perfect for you. Smiley face. Don't make me wait 2 months and ignore everything. Don't post anything on the website. Hide in the streets from people yelling at you to being like, where the fuck's chapter two? Where the fuck's chapter two? Just tell me it's going to be 6 months and I'll wait 6 months. I don't care. You've sold me. You gave me the first taste of crack. I tasted it. I want more. I'll come to your house, knock on your door and take it. But I want communication, man. Call me back and tell me you don't have the stuff. Don't just make me keep calling you over and over again. But other than that, great game.
Half-Life Episode 3.
But yeah, that's my pick.
Okay, well, I think it's about time we drop our pants and take a big giant shit on the terrible games.
Duty.
Mind if I go first? Because I really need to rip this fucking game.
Get that duty out.
Yes. And I'm pissed off too because every other review of this game has praised it. And I don't understand why people are praising this game.
I can suggest one thing.
What?
Crack cocaine.
Or yes.
Otherwise meth.
Is this IGN? Because you can't spell ignorant without IGN.
Not just IGN, everybody. In fact, I'm the only one who wrote a bad review about
bullshit.
This game. And the game I'm talking about is Skullgirls. Mm. It's a 2D beat-em-up. Similar in style to, like, Guilty Gear of sorts. And I played it at PAX East 2011 and ETHI 2011, and it really looked promising. It looked great because it had this sort of, like, hand-drawn, cel-shaded type of look to the game. It looked like a well-made cartoon when you were playing this. But then when the game came out, it was $15... It only had 8 characters to play, and it was frustrating as hell to control. Then I found out why it was frustrating to control. You had to have an arcade stick to properly play this game.
Hardcore player only.
So not only did you have to drop $15 to purchase a game with 8 characters in it, but you also had to drop at least another 100 to properly play it.
And don't forget about killing defenseless baby seals.
Yes. Killing defenseless baby seals.
Oh, sorry. Dead baby seals.
Actually, that.
That actually worked. The more you know, killing baby seals. But yeah.
The more you blow.
But in Skullgirls, the AI was extremely difficult. There was one character in this game went by the name of Miss Fortune. And every time I went up against her, I could not beat her. And so I actually went online and asked people online, has anyone beat Miss Fortune? And if so, how? Everyone listed, couldn't beat her, 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 couldn't beat her. No one could defeat her.
They're beating their Peter.
Yeah, I was too busy playing with my other joystick in my pants.
Well, knowing how good the female characters look in this game, I wouldn't be too surprised if some of these people are doing that.
Yet again, jerking off. What the hell?
Do you notice that all the good reviews were by males?
Yeah. I'm a guy, and I gave it a shit review.
Yeah, but you have a brain. Your brain's bigger than your. Oh no, I didn't insist on that. That came out. Hey, 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 hey. I don't mean that, but come on, you're
how do you know?
Because we've gone out in the town, man. I invited
Hangover. The Hangover, right?
But the only thing that this game was going for was its graphics, which were great. But good graphics don't make great games.
Absolutely.
And that's what a lot of people are still having a problem with. So, Skullgirls, as much as I like Autumn's games, because last year they were the guys who released Jimmy Johnson's Anything with an Engine, which I love to death.
I remember that.
You should have waited another year to put more characters into it, and to create a control scheme that would have been playable on regular controls and not fucking arcade sticks. Because that's when I realized what was wrong, because I remembered that every time I played Skullgirls at these conventions, it was with an arcade stick.
So it would probably be better if you were one of the people that actually bought like Mortal Kombat, the newest Mortal Kombat with the joystick, like the Super Edition version,
yeah,
where it actually came with a joystick setup. Or what's the other one there? Oh god, it's not Soul Calibur. It's the Tekken? Street Fighter.
Street Fighter?
Yeah, Street Fighter had a joystick set up on their controller for you to buy or something like that. So if you bought those might help you with the game. Probably not. I doubt it.
Yeah. So yeah, that's my worst game so far.
Ugh.
Tag!
Should I start? Where do I start the rant? Diablo 3, when you're focusing on making a game and you're not a free-to-play model, please do not force something in the game that makes people play microtransactions. If you're a game maker, do not force your game to be always online.
Yes.
Day one launch, that beautiful error that they had, I think it was 3007, I believe, popped up. Nobody could play. Why? Because your game's online only and you screwed up your servers. Congratulations, you should have probably tested that. All right, let's. Crap. What else can I rant about? We got Battlefields. Battlefields last year.
Yeah.
I can't rant about that. No.
I'm gonna cheat for a second, so you can.
Oh, you're gonna cheat? All right, Battlefield and all the other shooters. When you put an unlock system in, remember, you're gonna have new people join halfway through the game, as you were talking about early. Please allow me to catch up. And you know what Battlefield solution is? You can buy or use microtransactions to get the new weapons. I've already paid for your game. It was $60 and you forced me to buy it on Origin. If you're a PC developer, please release on Steam and then another platform. And then tell us why your platform's better than Steam, because right now I have probably about 100 to 120 games on Steam. I don't want to move. I like Dungeon Defenders, but let me rant about that because I went back to playing that one. And this goes for all the indie developers out there. There comes to a certain point where I buy your game for $15. Yay, great deal. It's amazing. You have so much DLC, it's $60 to $70 worth of DLC for me to catch up. You should lower your DLC price at some point in time. Oh, and if you didn't buy the game when all the holiday packs come out, you want the holiday packs, congratulations, you're paying. What other games do we have? Crap, there was Diablo. Does somebody else want to rant? I gotta go back and...
Yeah, just
rebuild
just
up.
Go to like Wikipedia or something like that. That they have a game list and stuff, and you can pick it up that way. You can definitely go by PC. That's what I.
I'm looking through my Steam list, and I just got so many games that I could rant about. What else came out this year? Well, somebody else go, and I'll jump back to mine, and I'll figure out what else I got that I've played.
How about the Xbox 360 version of Minecraft?
Oh, that's beautiful. Yes, let's jump on the Xbox 360 version. It was a good try, but when it comes down to if you got it and you were PC, there's no, if you have a PC, don't get it for Xbox. I can play with all my friends. Yay, Xbox. Ooh, this is a lit rant completely against Xbox. I got to do this one too. If you get it for Xbox 360, your map size is limited. Xbox doesn't have enough capacity to run the map size. Neither does PlayStation. The maps grow humongous. I want to jump up this in an indie game, and this is why a lot of releases have been delayed. An indie game recently went down on Xbox. They said, we cannot release our patch. We know it's broken. We're reverting to an old patch.
Yeah, that's Fez, actually.
The 10% of the people have... They came out in their press statement and said, we do not have enough money as an independent development studio for $10,000 per patch review process to actually release a patch for our game. Not enough people will get it. We'll lose money to fix this for the consumers. It was great that you bought it. We're happy that you supported us. Have a good luck. And I just... This is why I'm pointing at the independent consoles and stuff, and I look at PlayStation and everything else, and Steam was talking about making their own. If you're going to make a console and you're going to have independence, or you want the genres in gaming to grow, you cannot cut the indies out like you are. And Xbox and PlayStation Network and the Wii's Network, there's no competition for those. If you have an Xbox, you're buying off of their marketplace no matter what. And they're driving out indies. And this goes back to all the other shit with EA and Activision, and all them are all those companies are paying people off, and I'm just getting sick and tired of it. And now you know why I'm buying independents, because they are the future of games.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
All right, Issues Guy.
Yeah.
Heavy okay. Friend.
Yeah, this... Now, the worst game was a bit harder for me. I played a lot of shit this year. I mean, I have the Gamefly thing just so I can play, like, crappy shit on the Wii just to hate on it.
Mm-hmm. Is that worth it? Like, is the return time when you send the game back actually...
It kind of sucks, but I tend to... For the time that I put into it and the multiple times that I cycle, it's not that bad. It's not as bad as it... There's some weeks that are worse. It's worse when there's a newer game that you want to rent and they straight out lie to you. But if you're picking games that aren't that high in demand, the turnaround time isn't that bad.
Yeah, it's not like Netflix where it's like when you put it on that part, it would either tell you that it's like, you know, it's not available, mm-hmm. and then it'll just move to the next disc. I've noticed it with King's setup over here. That every time he goes to order something, he's like, yeah, I swear that was on the top of the list. And it gets skipped over, and they don't even tell you it.
Gamefly straight lies to you. In fact, we got a free copy of Zelda Skyward Sword just because we caught them in a lie. But that's a different topic altogether. But my worst game, because there was a few, there was a lot of really bad games. A game that came out towards the end of 2011 I just want to make because it really trumped it as the worst piece of shit game I played. Now, I have a lot of weaknesses as a human being. I have a lot of vices that I have. And one of the big vices I like orange liqueur. But other than orange liqueur, I do like marshmallows, and I like sticking marshmallows in weird places. But I don't want to share you guys with my project.
Long walks on the beach. Long,
hand in hand with Marshmallow Men. It's. I saw Ghostbusters as a young kid and confused the Marshmallow Man for Sigourney Weaver. It was a weird thing. But I love game shows, and I fell in love with the game of Survivor. Yeah, Survivor. I watched that show. I've consistently watched it since the beginning. Have a small urge in my heart to one day go on that show and win it because I understand because it's a good combination of athletics and but whatever. You don't have to trash me because I like horrible reality television. There is a good game in there of strategy and fun. So I thought, a Wii game. For Survivor, this can't be wrong. You know, you have weird motion graphic type crap stuff. You simulate that. You can do a little online talky-talk thing with other people and interact and do tribal consoles. It is it is an abortion of the television show that I love. It is... They have zombie people's eyes. You don't even vote. You don't have tribal councils. I don't want to get into because no one gives a shit about Survivor itself. Let's just say it is the worst adaptation of an amazing game show. Take some time because I honestly think some of these weird game shows on television, if you want to just make a really good party game version, polish it like Nintendo did with the Resort game or in Wii Sports and some of the Mario Party titles or Wii Play. Or Wii Play Plus, more like it. that the games are actually good, and you interact, put clips from old seasons, things like that. It doesn't take that much time. This game just smells like it got shoved out someone's ass when they were going to get a pizza and didn't have any money to pay, so they just shat out a fucking Survivor game because they need to pay out. Pardon my language, I know I'm going to be beefed, but I don't care. I need to swear about this crap.
No, this is uncensored.
Okay, this is uncensored. Anyways, but that's cheating, and I could bash this Survivor game longer and longer. Please look at a Family Feud game that came out a couple of years ago that really, or Press Your Luck, the video game. Different other things that they include old stuff from old episodes. You have 20 fucking 5 seasons of Survivor. You can make I want to pick my favorite Survivor character. Make it like a sim type game even. You could make a cool game. Make it like Godfather 2 where you can do both. You can zoom in the street and interact with things.
Wait, you're saying that you should make it so we could pick Boston Rob?
Yeah, I want to pick Boston Rob and face off against Russell and beat that living shit up, little punk. And I want to have sex with Pavarotti in the corner.
And mix it with American Gladiators. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. That's what I like.
I'm going to make a game now, and you can play a character, and you can beat the living piss out of everybody on the Jersey Shore. Best game ever.
Amazing. You know?
And now we'll do Survivor. We'll bring all the people from all the shows that we hate, and you can just beat the crap out of them. And it'll be best game ever.
I would play that game because I hate myself watching stuff.
But the most beat-up character, Justin Bieber.
But the worst game that I played that came out this year, just because I loathe the idea when games are clones, and especially if you're going to make a fucking clone, make it good, okay? Don't. I mean, if you're going to copy a game and pretty much try to do the same exact thing another game does,
World of Warcraft.
Take the time and make it passable. And the game that I picked for the shittiest game was Amazing Spider-Man, and specifically for the 3DS. It is a Batman Arkham City clone and is the most boring, watered down piece of crap version of that. The controls are wonky. It should not even be. It just stinks like a rushed video game title, movie tie-in video game title, but they just kind of copy the whole Batman Arkham Asylum City vibe. But that's okay. If you're going to do that, play a game like Captain America that came out a couple of years ago that copies that but does it well. There were games when God of War came out, there were so many God of War clones that came out. But if you did it well, I'll play it through. I mean, I loathe it. I don't like playing as Falco in Smash Brothers, but I'll do it because he's a clone of Fox, and I like playing Fox. I mean, I'll play the clone if it's a good version of that character. And I think this horrible Spider-Man piece of shit is like a web splat of crap coming out of a diarrhea hole on Spider-Man's backside. I hated this fucking game. Hated the game. That's my pick. King
okay.
Baby.
Blonic.
I hope it's... is this 2012, the Resident Evil?
Oh, yeah.
The new one? I heard decent
Operation
things about
Raccoon
that.
Operation Raccoon City.
Yep, that was close to me, man.
That's the funny thing that you say. Yeah, it's always good to hear, but when you actually play this game, I was just... I mean, that's the whole thing about me. I haven't been able to really play the Resident Evil as much as my cohorts or acquaintances or friends that are around me that apparently love the hell out of Resident Evil and whatnot.
Just play 1 and 2. That's all you need to play.
Yeah, apparently you just need to play 1 and 2, but I don't have the capabilities of going back to play those right now. But I'm just saying...
I'm going to check them.
Yeah, download it on the PC and I'll play it then. But for the most part... Oh, don't forget, Full Metal... Metal Gear Solid. Make sure you get Metal Gear Solid 2 while you're at it.
I'm going to see if they make a remake of that.
Again.
But to get back to Operation Raccoon City, this setup was kind of... It was hard for me to get used to because of the fact that... At least I could say on this one, because I played... God damn it. Code Veronica? I think, yes. I played Code Veronica at one point. And the one issue that I always had with the Resident Evil games is this stationary camera at one point in the room... And you have to have the character walk around the room like a fucking idiot and slam into walls and do all that other stupid shit just to find, like, a specific clue in the room so you can interact with it, put it in your knapsack or whatever, and then go and try to use that key or whatever later on. And it's always pissed me off because it's like, this game could be so much better because it's zombies. You could have done this in a third-person aspect. Now, with Operation Raccoon City... I guess they have attempted that because it wasn't just a friggin' stationary camera. It was actually you're going with the character and trying to run. Even though I felt it was kind of hard to move the camera around the character, you couldn't really... You had to actually move the character to turn around to actually see everything. I mean, it wasn't like a lot of games, like Gears of War or something like that. Gears of War, you can kind of give yourself like a 360 of the camera now, but also it kind of gives you a blind spot because if you're firing down the side of the rifle, somebody can come up on your left side and just totally gank you. But with the Raccoon, the game that we got to play, because yet again, this is one that King was able to get from Gamefly. I tried it out, and I threw my controller across the room after about 20 to 30 minutes of playing the game because it was so friggin' annoying. The game itself was just, it was just complicated because when you're running around, I'm used to the whole Call of Duty, Battlefield, and now Ghost Recon, you know, setup where you can move your character around in an easy way, where this character was like, oh shit, where's run again, you know, and you're trying to get the character to run, you're trying to get him to run away from this big, giant, fucking zombie guy. Of course, wait, hold on, I actually had said that wrong, because apparently the guys in Resident Evil aren't fucking zombies, from what I've been explained to so many times. I've been punched in the face because of it. They're like, they're not zombies! Then why are they acting like assholes and killing and eating people? You know, what the fuck, what is that? What do you call that?
They're the infected!
Yeah, the infected.
Assholes who are eating people. What do you
speak? Bath salts!
No, they can't even prove that that guy had bath salts. Apparently he was on weed. They could find that out, but they couldn't find out if he was on bath salts.
But then these other guys biting that weren't even on the weed. It's just everyone in Florida. It's because it's too hot there.
I mean, yeah, their brains have melted into nothing because they've been in the sun too long. I mean, what do you expect? But that's the whole thing with, you know, this game. It just was, it didn't mesh properly. We got to the point where we were switching the controller back and forth between each other because of the aggravation. We were like,
yes,
maybe you could beat this part. King would beat that part, and then he'd give it back to me, and I'd beat the next part. And we'd go back and forth until the point where we're just like, this game sucks donkey dick. We're tired of this game. Fuck this game. Send it
and
back.
And so you were beating each other?
No.
No.
I said that, no. Tank, listen when I'm talking to you. We were playing the game. We were what did you say?
I don't know what he said.
Nothing. Continue.
Fuck you. Anyways, we were trying to play the game and switching the controllers back and forth between us because of the fact that we were trying to see if one of us could beat that section of that game. And it got to the point where we got completely stuck and we just couldn't stand it anymore because it seemed that wherever the guys came out of, even after you like took out all those guys, you still had like another wave, and you couldn't keep yourself healed well long enough to do it. And even we turned it on to the easiest thing, and it still sucked. We couldn't.
Aren't you? You're supposed to sneak in that game. You're not this isn't the this isn't the newer ones. This is like the old one. You're supposed to hide and be scared, not run and gun in this version.
Well, no, that's the thing. There are people shooting at us at the same time too.
So. It's not, I mean, yeah, Tag, you can't really run and gun, and you're supposed to do that, but when you enter in this one place that was a, kind of like a reactor area that you had to take out all the reactors and stuff like that, you took out one reactor, and all of a sudden, like six or seven guys came out of one little, like, door that opened up randomly, so when we figured out that door, we threw a grenade over there. Then we moved on to when we finally figured out the next one, we blew up that one, and another set of guys came out. So it kind of got to the point where it was repetitive, and then they had people on the catwalk randomly, and they'd end up sniping you out. So it was just so friggin' annoying, because it didn't work tactically. Even when you were hiding behind objects, you were still exposed. It just didn't work properly. I mean, the guys were straight on from you, and you're behind a wall, and somehow they're still hitting you in the arm, you were hitting you in the head, no matter what you did. You moved around, and I was just getting killed. So the game really got to the point where I just wanted to gronk spike the fucking controller in the ground and say, fuck you, and find the people who created the game and literally beat them to death with baseball bats.
Well, they're in Canada, so it's not that far.
Oh, great. We can go up there for gravy and poutine.
In fact, if it were made in Japan, it'd actually probably be like the old ones, but sadly, it's not anymore.
Yeah, there's too many companies now that have, you know, expanded out, and they, If you're watching the credits, like I've done a couple times, I'm like, okay, so how many continents has this game been in? Like, you're like, oh, great, look, Europe, it's been in Russia somehow, I don't know why it's in Russia. Oh, wait, Iran? Why the hell was this in Iran? Canada? Okay, I guess the Canucks got it. Wait, Japan? What the fuck? You know, so you kind of figure out, like, how the hell did they get this all together in one place at one time, finally, and get it done? It's just amazing that they could do that even now, so... But yeah, that's what I had to say about that game. That game sucked big donkey dick. It's just a crap game. Raccoon City, you could suck a big one and die. Thank you.
All right. That was a good discussion.
Breathe. Oh, is it Evan's turn, or can I lay in the EA real quick?
I thought we were going to move on to the
next one. Let him in. No, he's good laying into EA.
Let me lay into EA for this one thing, because I had to see. None of mine's about games. All mine's about the gaming industry, because, well, that's what I follow. I got friends there and stuff. Let me lay in the EA for this one. Steam Summer Sale came up. They're selling all their games 33 to 66% off, I think it was, or whatever they normally do. EA had the guts and balls to come out, because they got Origin now, which competes with Steam, and says... Was it selling games for doing these sales and extended random sales and stuff decreases the value of the decreases the value of the game and the franchise in general? It's basically EA taking a punch at Steam because they're making more money, and it's completely proven wrong. So I'd like to tell Steam to stick it up their butt, and I hope they fail. But I'm pretty sure EA to stick up their butt, and I hope they fail.
I was gonna say.
Wow.
I thought you loved Steam. I'm sick and tired
of EA, and people have to find ways to stop buying games from that publisher, even if it kills you, because they have to die. So I just got to lay in the EA for shooting down like things that benefit consumers. And it's actually proven wrong, that because if they do, I believe Valve did a thing, if they said 33% off the game actually increases sales for the game by, I believe, 145 to 150%. So they are completely wrong. Companies are making money and being brought back from the brink of going out of business on these sales. EA are greedy bastards, and I hope every game they have from now on fails.
Yeah, we won't have that Curt Schilling incident happen again.
Oh, Curt Schilling. If you're starting an independent game company, even if you have a crap load of money, do not start with a probably 70 to 80 plus hour RPG, let alone make an MMO RPG, and they tried to do both, and that was the biggest stupid thing they could possibly do.
Agreed.
They tried to buy all the best people in the industry and make a dream game, and guess what? All the best people in the industry made a pile of duty. So.
Well, speaking of duty.
Oh, segue duty.
Yes.
Yay, segue duty.
It's time for... Do you have a fart sound ready there, Issues Guy?
I don't think I have a fart sound, but I can make one.
Big giant shit on this one.
All right, so this is about Call of Duty. With Air Division releasing more...
Ah, oh, it's COD, and it's all over my pants. Like...
With Activision releasing more Call of Duty games than EA does Madden, and with each one looking more and more like a clone of the previous title, has it about reached a point where the publisher should just let this war beast hibernate on his laurels? Well,
they're never going to.
Oh, yeah.
They're never going to, but... They need to, honestly.
I think this was my main point about this. As long as the people are out there buying them, it's tough because the market's out there. There's people out there playing that game on the pro level, man. You know, and it's I personally think a game like that should come out every 5 years. You have a game come out five, and everything else is updates that you buy for. You don't need to have the brand new game every year.
Right. That's what I've been saying about the Madden series, by the
Absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely. By the way, just to go back on what Teg was saying about EA, minus BioWare, I took myself off EA. I must admit, I do like a few years buying a basketball game. Not like 2K is much better, but I give my money to 2K now because I didn't like the minor updates. At least 2K tries every year.
Well, now BioWare is pretty much done with Mass Effect. Until they do something like the Halo team does, they leave, and then EA turns around and goes, we're reviving it, and we're making another. So,
but that was my thing about Call of Duty. The problem lies with the people, not with the game. Because if people aren't buying them, they'll stop making them.
And I have tried my hardest to avoid buying Modern Warfare 3. But then it's like I'm hearing friends like, "Oh, I bought Modern Warfare 3. I'm playing it." And like,
I bought Modern Warfare 3.
I know I didn't. No, no.
I only bought it because I had to review it. At least I think I did. I can't remember.
Yeah, you reviewed it. And then I heard.
They thought you were drunk and tried to sleep with you.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And then, I'm hearing more people playing Modern Warfare 3. It's like, just ignore it, just ignore it. And then I go on to Amazon. If you buy Modern Warfare 3 for $50, you get half off of a year of Xbox Live. And I'm like, fuck, I'm buying Modern Warfare 3.
Yeah, but where has it sat?
It sat
in the fucking corner and collected dust, right?
Yes.
Because that's the thing with King here. King is not a first-person shooter type person and whatnot. And of course, when I have Darkheart chilling out with me over at my place, and he always plays Black Ops. I don't know why, but he loves Black Ops to death. But he doesn't like the newest, the Modern Warfare 3. He doesn't like any of the old ones. He just likes Black Ops. He doesn't really play that. And of course, when he plays,
does all he play is zombies? Because I can understand that.
Yeah, well, but no, usually he just plays it on the online aspect, not with the zombies, but just the actual multiplayer. But when he plays it, he's getting, you know, he's doing okay. He's getting, like, a somewhat respectable kill-death ratio. Sometimes it's, like, 10 and 15 or something like that. And then when I pop on, I'm, like, 20 and, like, 15 and or 20 and 10. And he's just like, how the hell are you moving like that? It's just one of those things where you got to figure out, like, how the movement goes of the game. And sometimes people can't understand that whole concept, which, you know, the movement of the game. But I feel bad for King here because he spent that money on the game, and it just sits there. Same with Battlefield 3. I don't know how many times I've tried to go, dude, let's go play Battlefield 3. Shit, I gotta go do something. Damn it!
Yeah, exactly. It took me 3 months to actually open up the goddamn game.
Yeah, it was still wrapped in the plastic. I was like, why is this still in plastic? What is going on here?
King, I'm with you. First-person shooters have to do something, or not just first-person shooters. I mean, shooters in general aren't the go-to game that I would go to play. That's why something that Blue was talking about earlier, I think a game like Sniper Elite makes it exciting even for me, the way that they add those fatality-type kills, a little more depth. But that's what's tough about that, again, and you mentioned it, what makes the Call of Duty series and other games like that so successful is the multiplayer and doing that well. I'm more of by nature, a one-player game. A one-player campaign and how that feels is more important to me than anything. And I'm such a pussy playing online. I'm the guy that got kicked out of every group when I played WoW because my gear wasn't good enough, you know?
That's all that was, everybody. Unless you were elitist jerk who had no life whatsoever but sit around and study gear.
It dissuaded me from gaming with other people for a long time because I'm antisocial in general, and to go into a game where I thought I could socialize with people and people are just being straight out rude to me, I was like, okay. I'm just going to enjoy my game as a one-player entity, you know, and that's what's kind of important to me.
But to talk with you about that issue, guys, is that with the Sniper Elite thing, I don't know how many times that I heard with people saying that they didn't like the in-game play. They could only play about four levels into the actual game, and then they got to the point where they were annoyed. It was the V2 rocket, what do you call it? The actual place where they were making the V2 rockets, the factory. And people, after that, they said they couldn't play it anymore. And I said I couldn't stop because of the fact that I liked the stealth aspect of the game. You had to actually have the patience to beat this game.
Mm-hmm. I started to imagine I was Antonio Banderas or Sylvester Stallone from the movie Assassins. I just really loved it. I loved it. I loved that aspect of it. It was something unique to me in the shooter world.
Right,
so.
Which is why last year I loved Bulletstorm. Because it was just so over the top, it was hilarious, and it was just entertaining from start to finish. It had the type of humor that I look for in shooter games.
But with our ADD nation now, as America basically is, if you don't have something that's fast-paced, like as Call of Duty or Battlefield, you know, Bad Company or Battlefield.
You're talking about 15-minute jump in and out games.
Yeah, like these people are like, oh, dude, before I go to work, I'm going to go hop on Call of Duty, jerk off, and then go to work. that's basically what it is. Like, nowadays, it's like, you know, we've got all these fucking kids, too, that are playing the game that are making it even worse. Either they're really, really fucking good, and you don't know why, or there's somebody that has a modded controller, and their little friggin' nephew or kid brother is playing the fucking game and whipping everybody's ass, you know, and going, you know, calling you noobs and shit like that. And it makes everybody feel worse, because, you know, and that's what I have to say is I want multiplayer to get better so that all those people that have mommy and daddy issues don't bring it into the fucking game. They come in, absolutely, they play the fucking game, and you got to fucking enjoy it. I'm tired of this whole bullshit where it's like, I just fucking curb stomped you on the fucking thing and fuck your mom. You know, it's like, come on, really? Like, did you have to go that far, buddy?
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things where they need to keep it. They need to figure out how to make a game that is aggressive, but also not too aggressive to the point where you want to actually find that person's IP address, find their home, kick their front door down, and then kill them.
Levinside 2. Get a better computer. It's free.
Yeah, I remember the old Planetside. It was so awesome to play when I actually had like a tower computer that was actually able to work and handle that kind of shit. But
yes,
now I've been on this shitty Acer, and I'm trying to work a deal with somebody that isn't here on our little podcast that was supposed to be here. Somebody from Structure Gaming. I'm not going to mention his name, but Structure Gaming.
Oh, he was supposed to come too.
Yeah, he was supposed to come and bust our chops on you. But for the most part, I'm trying to see about getting an Alienware PC off of him, but I don't know. I'm so broke right now, it's not even funny.
Right.
I'm surprised I'm not sleeping on the streets right now.
Does that mean you're not coming camping?
I don't think I'm going camping. I have to go sell my ass on Union Street to a bunch of... Never mind, I'm not going to even mention it.
All right. That's understandable. I got a gay friend. He'll pay for you if you want.
The Dominican girlfriends and stuff like that. It's apparently my Dominican ex-girlfriend says I have a bunch of people in line for me. I'm so male fucking friends. Sad.
Yeah. Get it where you can get it.
Okay, let's get back onto the subject.
What subject?
But I think, again, to sum it all up, the problem is in the people. People need to stop buying these games, and the companies will stop mass producing them. Yes. I think again, a company like EA is not going to stop shoving these Madden and NBA Live and NHL and FICA games out their ass until people just smarten up and just don't buy them every year. I mean... Or an independent company can get some of the rights back. That's where it is a big friggin' money grab, because EA buys up all the rights to the NFL or to the NBA, and then if an independent company wanted to make a really good sports game, you know, like a really good football game, and they couldn't do it. Or
they can't use the main characters, basically.
Right? They can, and no one wants to play a game like Baseball Stars these days where they don't know the names.
That would be like taking the Patriots and turning their team into the Minutemen and making it some other guy that sounds like Tom Brady, but it's not Tom Brady.
Right, it's like, it's Bob Maybe or something.
Yeah.
That's not going to work. I don't care how good the game is.
But to get back to the Call of Duty Black Ops thing that's going to be coming out
by the way, it might as well be called Beyond Modern Warfare.
Yeah, it should be, because of the fact that it's taking the one step further over the Modern Warfare aspect. From my understanding is I went to GameStop recently, and I said, okay, so what's going on with the thing? It's like, well, you can't really pre-order here. We're all out of pre-orders because we've gotten so many. We're over, like, thousands of people that have already come here. We can't hand out any more posters because of the fact that we can't give that and we can't make that promise anymore. Because what it is when you pre-order, there's the capabilities of getting so much extra stuff. So if you go and wait until the last minute and you pre-order, you're probably not going to get a goddamn thing. But... But there's so many pre-orders right now. Even though, like, when I've watched the video, I've seen little glitches and little this, little that. Like, the graphics don't look as fantastic as it could be. Because, you know, they kind of just, as we said earlier, it's just them overlaying what they just did in the past game. Mm-hmm. And it's not adding on, it's not making it better. It's just revamping a story and then trying to make the ultimate multiplayer that they possibly can. That's the only thing that I see with Call of Duty now.
Those games, they should get rid of the main story, and they should be 100% focused on making a multiplayer game. And you know what? The effort they put on that main story, you could take all that effort in putting it and making the game different every time. Like, now there's a new multiplayer, but now there's the 3 to 4 hour campaign, and they have to have it because everybody else has it. So,
right,
just make it interesting and different. No, how hard is it?
My suggestion is have it based off another war, because every Call of Duty game has either been World War II or the modern stuff, or modern war. It would be really interesting for me.
They're making futuristic with this one, and that's the only thing that's making me a little bit interested. I'm still not going to get it.
That was the kind of step up that Battlefield did with when they did Battlefield 2142.
Which was epic.
Yes, it was pretty epic. But that was the thing. Battlefield beat them out on that because of the fact that they already went to the future and said, hey, fuck you, we already planted our flag here, and suck it, you know, Call of Duty.
Yeah.
But the other thing that you have to look at is do you think that anybody would want to go back to World War One and try to play that? Because it's kind of hard to reenact trench warfare because it would get to stalemates, and you'd sit there, what, you want to sit there in a trench for that long? I mean, look at not the Vietnam War, but there's the Korean War.
Yes.
Yes, you could do a little bit of something on that, but that was like a blip in the fucking in our history. Right. It wasn't as like epic and stuff like that. So it's kind of hard to pick wars.
But you know, there's not just that. They could totally do a Civil War game. They could do American Revolution. They could do Spanish American War. Hell, I know it was going to be another World War II game, but it could bring back that Devil's Brigade project that they were working on. Have it based off of Italy because it sounded interesting. And I'm just thinking outside the box here, they can actually go into wars that didn't have guns, because not every war had guns.
The Braveheart War.
Yes!
So you want people going around with claymore swords and, swinging at each other.
Wouldn't that be awesome, though?
Well, wasn't there that game that you told me about?
Chivalry.
Shogun or something like that?
Yeah, like Rome Total War and different...
Yeah, and they had the whole setup...
Yeah, that's an awesome game.
They had it so it's set up where, like, you know, I remember playing, like, Civilization or the other ones where you could set up, like, a whole thing where you had, like, massive wars going on, like, how like, the movie was in Troy, you know, like, how those battle scenes were.
And then you could zoom into the battles and actually position your troops in different, and actually have a little bit of a 3D environment feel of it as well. That's why I really love the Total War games.
But I talked with Teg before and stuff like that, it's like, they were supposed to be coming out with, Tiberium Wars or something along those lines? What was that?
I gave up on all the Command & Conquer series were great up until EA took them over.
Then there was supposed to be a game that they were going to bring out or whatnot, but it got canceled.
They had another. Well, Renegade came out and it was an FPS RTS semi.
Yeah, so. But that was the one thing that I wanted them to do was how I've told you so many times is to make like an RTS 2 first person shooter where you set up the war field like kind of like how Ruse was, but yet you could click on the unit that you have down at that one to make that unit a little bit more effective in movements and stuff like that to take that actual command of the tank or soldiers down there and go and fight better. You know, make
there hasn't
it into
been
that.
A game like that in a while, but I remember one that was kind of like that. A lot of them have tried to make RTS FPSs, and none of them have been major players for games and shit. So you get the Nuclear Dawn that came out that was amazing RTS FPS. It's just there's no community for that game. But it was awesome running around to see buildings pop up around you and shit and supply depots. It was great, but...
So if Call of Duty was maybe to say, let's take a break, because there was that whole... It was kind of like back in the day when, say, like, maybe late 90s, early 2000s, that's when they were coming out with, like, the original Call of Duties and Medal of Honors and whatnot. There was kind of a break period at that point, and then they kind of went on this whole rampage of every other year we have two companies, you know, that are able to work within those 2 years, but yet a lot of those people have overworked or the companies have broke off.
Yeah.
Because, like, Infinity Ward, you look at that, they were like, fuck you, we're done, we can't take this anymore.
Well, so, Infinity Ward got betrayed on a contract. So that's Activision. Congratulations, Activision's like EA. So they're screwing over their developers.
So let's just put it this way, is you got to look at the whole concept that, you know, they got to the point where they got pissed off, and then now there's two different other groups now working on the games on an oscillating...
Treyarch and Infinity Ward.
Yeah, so it's like... So it's going back and forth and stuff. They're kind of getting pushed back and forth. But that's the other thing with the industry is a lot of people that love gaming now probably hate it so much because they're sitting on a computer like almost 24/7 now, and they're trying to develop the game because there's a supply and demand for that game. There's some person that's like, this is a perfect time to tell about this game and stuff like that, make people want it, and then we're going to have to put it out within that 6-month period and make people want to buy it.
Otherwise, games are turning into politics, and it's back in the day, all the games, it was amazing because it was small game companies. They were making what, you know, you would want to make. It was kids out of school and shit forming companies. Like Westwood Studios, like I said, with Command & Conquer, was actually one of those out of somebody's basement groups. And EA's mission statement stuff, they were amazing, but then they grew corporate. And now it's, well, what do the people want? And it's not, you can't pre-market fun. And it's getting ridiculous what they're doing. They're just copying what worked in other games and then wondering, well, why isn't it working? Maybe if we do it again. So, you know, all these copy-paste, and it's becoming corporate. It's what can we sell that's like something else that's successful instead of how can we make a new, interesting, fun game.
Yeah, how can we make things that entertain people? How can we make the best game? How can we keep topping ourselves? Because that's what it started out, right, when the home console and the Ataris first came out and all these independent companies were making different games for those systems or the early computers and stuff like that. It was everyone trying to, every year, trying to top themselves, make a better game, a better product, more entertaining for the people. And it seems like that's stopping, and it's how can we mass market the sequel to this movie franchise
before it's even created?
What has made the most money, and how can we do the same exact? Congratulations,
let's make Doolittle 15. You know, like, friggin' crap.
Look at how much World of Warcraft's made, and look at all the competitors that have tried to go up against it and sunk because they don't know why. It's ridiculous. It's like, well, World of Warcraft already has the same amount of people, and well, if you're offering the same thing, WoW is. Why do I want to play your game? Why don't I just go play WoW? All my friends are playing that.
Exactly.
Come up with something new and call me back later.
Agreed.
I made one mistake and started to try Star Trek Online, and then I was like, why am I doing this? All my friends are playing WoW. This is
This is it. I did that. I've tried to bounce between all those different ones. What's the newest WoW killer? Now it's coming down. Everybody's making fun of it. Oh, this is going to kill WoW? Yeah, right. So
exactly. The only people killing WoW is when Blizzard decides to shut their doors down, and I don't think they ever will. There'll be people playing WoW long after we all die.
I think Project Titan is pretty much going to be the next version of WoW, whatever Blizzard's working on with that. And they're just going to replace their best-selling game with another best-selling game, and nobody's going to beat it.
I wouldn't be surprised, but they won't do this because it's too cool. If they just imported the World of Warcraft into a bigger world, you know, so people could keep their characters, but then there's a bigger universe around it. But again, I'm thinking too innovatively and for a way to people to not feel like the years that they played that game for years and years and years.
Oh, yeah. It feels like you wasted all that time. It's ridiculous.
My friend's like, I got 7 level 80. Oh, good. Good for you. Level 85s. Excuse me.
What did that get you? Oh, yeah, no life throughout what schools and shit?
And how fat are you now? No.
Are those spider webs on your penis?
A lost girlfriend and about $500 in debt because of Warcraft, yep. I know a kid that lost his teeth because he didn't go to the dentist because he had to play Warcraft.
Wow.
How's those dentures? How are the dentures?
Yep, he does. He has a whole mouthful of dentures and now plays Call of Duty.
Yep.
Bring it around, but...
Wow.
Yep. No, that's what's happening. That's normal.
So we can. Well, I don't know. I'm probably gonna end up pre-ordering the goddamn game. But I'll probably enjoy it in some sense. But I mean, it kind of is getting upsetting that it's like I'm buying the same game over and over again.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yep.
And I just think that they just need to take a break from it. Take a break, research a little bit more.
Or even just take a break, because the beautiful thing is if somebody takes a break and they're sitting there, they're relaxing at some point, right? And it gets to the point where they're sipping Mai Tais or whatever the hell they do to make themselves feel relaxed. They're going to go, they're gonna have that notepad right next to them and stuff like that. And they're going to be like, fuck me, I've got a great idea. Let me write that down. And then they're going to be like, then they could go and sell that to the guys and then create a whole new better game and stuff like that. They need the break.
And I know they want to make the money grab every year, but if you wait, say, 2, maybe 3 years to put out a game, and you put some time and effort into it, your sales are going to be even crazier because people are going to be hungry for it. You know, you're going to create a hunger for that title again. If you don't see, if I don't see Iron Man every couple of years, I'm hungry and I want to see Iron Man on the screen. Sorry for the movie references, but it's the same thing. It's yes. An entertainment thing. You put it off. You keep that carrot in front of me. It's part of the reason why I personally have loved the Zelda series forever, because they don't put out a game every year. It's when they take their time and they make a good product that I love. But we'll get into Nintendo in a second here.
Yes. All right. Tay, any final thoughts on Call of Duty?
What else is there to say? I mean, it comes down, everybody wants a new game, and they're not going to release a new game until people stop buying it. And that's what it comes. There's nothing we can do about that.
Okay.
No. Resistance is futile.
Yes, resistance is futile.
Cod is fecal.
So, shall we move on to the next topic?
Absolutely.
All right. Wii U or bust? Nintendo was going all out to bring its latest system, the Wii U, into the forefront, but at the same time is still being hush-hush about some of its specs. While impressive to play, can Nintendo finally reach across to those hardcore gamers and make its new console truly accessible to everyone, or will Microsoft's smart glass make a fool out of the Big N? And what should Nintendo bring to the board that they've yet to accomplish to rival the other two companies? I know it's a lot to discuss, but this is something that's the Wii U is being released this year, but they're still being quiet on the release date, the actual specs of it. I've gone hands on with it at E3, and I really liked it. But I still need to know more before I can put my money down to pre-order it. And I'm having a bit of an issue with that.
I feel like I might have a different opinion than some of the other people here, so that's why I'm kind of holding back because of my giddy girl excitement about this. Because
I'm excited too about it. Don't get me wrong.
You think you're excited? I kind of like that.
I kind of like that Nintendo's holding it close to the vest here because why does everything have to be leaked? As long as I think where we are graphically at a certain point, I don't care
it
how great.
Doesn't matter too much anymore.
It's,
yeah.
As long as it's in high definition and just visually can be up to specs with what's going on right now. And I don't think even when we're going to go from PS3 to PS4 or the Xbox 720, whatever, it's not going to be that much of a graphical jump. And to me, as long as it's comparable, that there's a lot of Wii games I like better than Xbox 360 games.
I agree.
And just because they're better games, you know, and graphics don't necessarily matter. And I kind of like that Nintendo's being a little bit close to the vest here, but I do like some of the information I've heard about price and about keeping the price down to a certain extent. And I get very excited at these times of year. Nintendo, in a way, for a system, the closest thing to disappointing me, I guess, would be the GameCube, but even that didn't completely disappoint me. They've never disappointed me on a system. And even with my 3DS, which I started out being a little afraid of, once I played games like Super Mario 3D and Kid Icarus, getting used to the controllers and controls eventually and thinking it was a really good game, they offer a level of character and connection on a level for all ages and the core gamer in me that connects to it, that I trust Nintendo and very excited about what they're going to put out. Yeah, I trust the big company of Nintendo to put out a decent, because I think they give a shit a little bit more about being innovative and making something that plays good.
I agree with you on that. I mean, when was the last time you heard of a Nintendo system
that wasn't fun to play on some level?
Right, and when was the last time you heard there were glitches on a Nintendo system?
Or that a Nintendo system fell apart because the hardware was flimsy or something. They make solid plastic bullshit that can stand the test of time. My Nintendo 64, my gray box, and my Super Nintendo all still work.
You know what's actually funny that you mentioned this? That my nephew's dusted off the N64 that has been piled in dust and whatnot, They pulled out all the my N64 games, popped it in, plugged it into my TV, and started playing Mario Kart over again. And they were playing the monster, Rampage. They were playing everything still on that system. I was kind of like, hello, guys, there's like brand new Xbox 360 in the other room, brand new Xbox in this room. What are you doing? There's a Wii right there. What the hell are you doing?
I will admittedly say this, because what you said triggered something in me. Nintendo is guilty of the same thing that we've been accusing EA of, and with
same thing over and over and over and over and over. And
what upsets me about the Nintendo Wii U launch is that a new Zelda game with the same concepts that I've seen that's coming out with the Batman Arkham City
crossbow. No,
Something really cool and innovative. I don't like that a big release title that they're going with is the new Super Mario Brothers Wii, which I'm excited about that game because Wii U, because I enjoyed the Wii version of it, and I like a good side-scrolling Mario game like anybody else. But I think the first and I'm happy about Pikmin to a certain extent, but I don't like those games as big shower offers. Yeah, that's a word. Yeah. Shower offers of what the system could do. They should have come out with a first-party Zelda game or a first-party Mario Galaxy-ish, whatever type game that really exhibit that. It's looking like games like Arkham City and Zombie U.
I have a lot of hope for Zombie U.
We're going to see the games that show off what the Wii U can do better than some of the first-party Nintendo games that are coming, because that's the problem with Nintendo has recycled a lot, but I do think there are some creative minds there that I don't think, even though Zelda games are sort of rehashes, that each one brings something unique into it. They're trying to up each other on every effort, add a new little twist into it or something.
Yeah, well, I wanted to mention, too, that the biggest issue with the Wii was that they couldn't capture that hardcore gamer audience, even though I felt like they had two of like the best like mature rated titles on there. Mad World, which was my pick for which was my pick in 2009 for Game of the Year. And one other great one, House of the Dead Overkill. Which was such a blast to play.
I'm also gonna throw one in there called Reload. I mean, I know it was just shooting at paper targets, but it gave you kind of like the Hogan Alley setup that, you know, of playing like gun games and stuff at your own TV instead of like being at an arcade and feeding quarters into the Terminator machine, you know, a Terminator Salvation machine. I mean, the Wii itself has, you know, creative things, but yet they do, as we were saying, recycle a lot of stuff.
But the problem we have is how are you're not going to get people that own, and I agree, as someone that likes deeper games on some level, I needed to go out and buy a 360. A Wii wasn't enough for me.
Right.
And I know what Nintendo's trying to do to make it so I don't have to do that. But I don't get how they're going to get people that already have 360s, already play on the PC, already have PS3s, and are going to go out and buy a Wii U. I don't see those people going out and buying it. I see everyone that has Wiis and the Nintendo fanboys like me going out and buying it. I don't see the casual,
the average person, yeah,
person giving a shit, you know, or like, oh, I have to play the new Smash Brothers game. I have to play the new Smash Brothers game.
Right.
I'm for it.
Which, by the way, I was very surprised that they did not mention the new Smash Brothers at all of this year's E3 presentation.
All I've heard is that a smaller character roster than Brawl. That's the one piece of information I've heard from.
Because there are already hundreds of characters in it. It was getting a little ridiculous.
And most of the characters are clones. You can only have so many types of characters. That's a big problem in Melee, especially, is you have a lot of clone characters. And I'm like, oh, God, why do I have to play with Pichu? I don't want to play with Pichu. You suck. You're like a weaker Pikachu, and Pikachu's weak enough.
At least it's not Jigglypuff.
Pikachu's a bitch.
Hey, in the N64 version, I can kick some ass with Jigglypuff because you can never see it coming.
Yeah. Well, Jigglypuff has a sleep move there, and it kills you in like one hit. My buddy Boots loves to do that.
You do the sleep and then the reverse fart of the toxic gas that throws you off the screen or something. Like,
it's ridiculous. You go from having 10% to being kicked off the map. It's like, wait, I was full and got hit once.
And to answer your main question, that's what Nintendo has. Even Nintendo recycles things like Smash Brothers every time, but those are the type of games.
They don't do one every year.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Every 5 or 6 years, they'll put out a new type of game. What they do is, if they have a successful franchise like Mario Galaxy, they'll rush out a sequel to it really quickly, and then cut on a main world and do a world like Super Mario Brothers 3, where the main hub board got eliminated in Galaxy because they rushed out Part 2 a little bit quicker. So they eliminated the hub world altogether. But
Galaxy 2 wasn't that bad. In fact, it was one of my favorite
games. It was really fun. That's the thing. Nintendo needs some more IPs, some more new projects, needs to get some younger creative minds. Let's get some hungry young Japanese people working hard for Nintendo.
They have plenty of those.
Don't worry about throwing those Chinese kids in some tiger cages either. That'd be perfectly fine too.
You see, in my opinion too, I feel like Nintendo needs to do something that they have not done before. And that's make a first party M-rated title.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Like, picture a darker Metroid. Or a reboot of, like, the Fatal Frame series, since they now own the rights to that. They can bring back that, when I was over there, they were talking about, in Nintendo Land, the Takamura's Ninja Castle. They can make a new version of that, make it, like, gorier than Ninja Gaiden, but have a better story, of course, and bring it to America for the first time. I was going to suggest two Killer Instinct, but unfortunately Rareware is the guys who owns the rights to that. Mm-hmm. But I think that Nintendo needs to show that they have grown up with the gamers and release like something really, really mature.
Yeah, and they have to think that some of the people that bought Wiis were younger, and that age demographic has grown, and they have to target that right now, because those are the people that are going to want to buy the system, and don't lose those customers. They did so well at selling so many of those frickin' things, and you turned a lot of people onto gaming that weren't into gaming before. Now capitalize it and give them something unique that no one else can give them. And give them. I agree with you. Nintendo needs to step out of their box some way. Make some sort of game that isn't cutesy fartsy, like la 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 la. Something dark, something gritty, and they can do it. I know they can do it. I have faith.
They just haven't done it in ages.
Exactly. They did it. They did it back in the original age. Back in the Super Nintendo age. Back in the.
Well, that was Rockstar.
Yeah.
Well, no, I know that was Rockstar, but they made Manhunt 2, and it was absolute shit. And it could have been so much better.
But it wasn't a Nintendo published. Or...
I don't give a shit. It should have been a Nintendo published. Come on!
So, yeah.
Anger.
So, Ted, what are your thoughts on this? I know you're more of a PC gamer type of guy.
Nintendo... Alright, Nintendo, back in the day, you had your hardcore audience. They got rid of their hardcore audience, basically. And what they have to do is hold on to the people, like we said, they have, and bring back the hardcore. Now, the question is... What developers are they going to get, or what genres are they going to bring over that have existing fan bases, and who's going to buy this console? Or are they just going to go back and buy it for, say, the Xbox or the PS3 instead? So that's their big thing, is getting new members to move over. So they're going to need something exclusive. They're going to need something new. And they need almost everything. This is going to be hard to get the hardcore audience back after abandoning it. But then they don't want to stab the actual casual. Now, having the new controller, is this motion controls too, or is this just
you can either have the motion controls, or you can use the controller with the screen on it.
It also has a facing cam and microphone and all that sort of stuff for full interaction, a social level.
You got a lot of gimmicks with Nintendo, though, and that's the thing. It's how many people are going to buy into this new controller, and especially with this new controller being a touchscreen, how much is that one going to cost? Is it going to be cost-effective? I mean, it's nice that the console's good, but I'm buying basically a small tablet. So,
rumor has it under 300, but don't quote me on that.
For the whole entire thing with one controller,
under
9,000.
How much is each controller going to cost individually? Because what
probably,
happens if I want to play with...
$50? I'm guessing about $50.
Yeah, so I mean, that's still more expensive than their little Wii Ninja bowl that they have.
What is cool that Nintendo is doing is all the little Wii accessories are you all can use them with the Wii U. They're all accessible.
I don't see them getting back all the hardcore gaming fans that they used to have with a new Zelda, and they're going to have to bring something to the plate.
It has to be a game like a game in the zombie, in the shooter, in the in a a new populist game where you can use the where you can interact uniquely,
yeah.
or a new Civ game that's unique to the system itself. Something that you can bring a kind of gameplay that you can't bring anybody else, and a company wants to design specifically for that system. I know a game like Zombie U, they're hoping at launch, brings a few people. I don't know, King, did you get a chance to mess around with that game at all?
Oh, yeah, I got to play with that. I was very impressed with it. And also, the multiplayer in there is great.
And that's another thing. If they can find a game that people like to play multiplayer,
and it gets
taught, if they can legitimately bring a, and I know this goes against a hypocritical a little bit to what I was saying before, but I want Nintendo to bring a good multiplayer thing to people. And that's
Zombie U with the multiplayer. One guy plays a survivor,
but
the other guy's the one who drops the zombies in.
I'm not just talking the game, though, and I know that they're doing this, but they're finally ditching the whole friend codes. They're outsourcing the whole online system to a different company that's putting it all together. So I think that's smart, because they obviously don't understand that, but they need to bring that as a big part.
They know it's one of their weak points, which is good.
And they're having another company deal with that shit. So let's hope Nintendo gets into the 1990s here with online gaming.
They're going to need a reason to buy their console, is basically the thing. They gotta, why move to theirs if there's so many other ones, and now a lot of the other ones are cheaper and competitive in price range. Is this going to really be that much better looking? Are there going to be games worth buying?
Yeah.
You need reasons. And
right.
For somebody to go out and go, okay, I'm going to spend $300 to $350 for just the base, not including the new controllers and everything else. So, bait.
Yeah. It should be very interesting to see what happens with Nintendo the first few months. Well, I imagine since it's going to be coming out like at around Christmas time, that a lot of people are that this is going to be the big thing, that people are going to try to buy like five of them and then put four of them on eBay and see if they can sell them for like $2,000 a piece.
Oh, they've always been good at spacing out their releases and making sure, you know, the ones that they're buying or selling. And that's the thing, is this is going to come out and be exactly like the Wii, I bet. It'll be impossible to find it. They'll be slowly selling it, and it'll be this big in-depth process.
I remember when the Wii came out, and you couldn't find that, yet there was like, every store you went to, there were like 8 PS3s under lock and key, and no one wanted it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that was at the time when they were coming out with the PS3. They were basically shipping those over with like Chinook helicopters or some shit because of the fact that they're in demand at one point.
Yeah, and then they overran the sales, and they had way too many, and they were charging too much, and then they started lowering prices and they lost profit.
I just still can't believe the whole concept that people stood in line for like PS3, got trampled and shit like that. People shot one another.
Whereas all the Nintendo fans, they were patient and they were very calm, and no one died trying to get a Wii.
That's because everybody said they didn't have it. You had to go there like the day the guy showed up with a Nintendo to actually get it. It's just GameStop. We can't reserve it. We might have it. We don't know.
Yeah, eventually, the only way I got it is because I was one of those crazy people that was waiting outside overnight for the Wii, and I was the second. Two people in front of me in line got the last one at Target that day. But then I drove around like a crazy person for weeks and finally went to a Toys R Us who were smart enough to hand out tickets. And when they got them in, they called you, which was probably the smartest way to do it. If you wait out, just hand everyone a number or a ticket number in line, and then however they meant have in the store, those people that are in line get the tickets. The rest are in line on a queue for when it gets shipped to you. So
yeah, that's a smart idea. I like that.
Just to save it. So, but whatever. No, but they want the news. They want the crazy people getting into ride. No doubt that all these companies.
No press is bad press. So
yeah, exactly. They want these.
Yep.
As long as no one's killed, you know, and there's not like a mass, you know, like a real big disaster.
There's always somebody killed.
One person's not a disaster. It's sales.
It's like World of Warcraft. Somebody accidentally left their son out in the car while they went into a cafe and played World of Warcraft. And, well, congratulations. World of Warcraft started a death count. World of Warcraft, the amount of fatalities caused by this game is currently running at, and then they have a little counter. So. Well, we'll see what happens. Time can only tell with what the release schedule is and what they said they're going to come out with. So,
yeah, and hopefully we should know more maybe by next month.
Well, Nintendo's usually pretty open.
Yeah, they are pretty open.
Yeah, that's why it's weird they're keeping it kind of close to the vest on this one. Because I think it's because of how poorly the 3DS did at launch and how that was one of their most botched launches yet. And they have recovered since the price drop. And 3DSs are doing really well. And I think Nintendo's just very cautious on this launch and just want to make sure that they do everything quote unquote right here, because their stockholders in Japan were pissed off at the failed launch of the 3DS. And there was a lot of grumblings over there. So
grumblings.
Grumbles, yeah, sorry. I got Zelda on the mind now. Grumble.
So yeah, Lloyd, any other final thoughts on the Wii U launch? What are you hoping for?
Fuck, I still don't know exactly what the hell the Wii U is personally, because
it's a Wii with a U!
Great, thank you, Tank. You motherfucker. I can understand that, like, I guess it's a tablet add-on to your Wii, but it's still kind of, like, separate by itself in a way.
Yeah, it's a new system itself, but that's why it's confusing. They really should not be... Okay, say what you want about the name Wii. It's a pretty silly name. They shouldn't have named it to begin with the Wii.
I could go and take a Wii in the fucking, you know, box.
They should have kept it called the Dolphin or some other stupid shit that they were originally
called. I'm sorry, but
Nintendo Revolution.
The Revolution, that's what it was, the Revolution.
When they started the whole, like, commercialization of the Wii and had the two random Japanese guy knock on your fucking door and just be like, we would like to play. And you'd be like, what the hell are you doing? Are you Jehovah's Witnesses?
Lou's afraid a Japanese guy would show up at his door and try to rape him at night after.
But I think it's a really big mistake that they're calling it the Wii U. I think it's because it confuses things. Is it an add-on? Is it a new system? I'm stealing this from some other gamer. I forget who said it, but it should just be called the U. Even though that's kind of a stupid name anyway, but if you're going to go with this, you know, that's the Wii, this is the U. I mean, they went with that whole pitch in the whole play of, you know, this is you bringing us together. So just call the thing the U.
I don't know what the hell the U stands for. I mean, I would, the one thing us. I could count it as is like universal. Like
universal us, maybe.
Because it's supposed to be able to interact with the Wii unit itself, but also be its own independent game system. So, like, you could, it's like kind of, it. From what I remember it looking at, like, it looked like the Game Gear, like the Sega Game Gear that I remember playing with, but yet it's in a tablet form. So I'm kind of iffy about it, and I'm like, I don't know. I'm scared. Because I know I shouldn't be afraid of something new, but it's just kind of scary because it's like, those motherfuckers are going to make money off of people, and nobody really knows what the fuck it is. Or I don't really know what the fuck it is. It's just one of those things where I'm kind of like, should we really put this out? Like, is it worth the people's time that they could have just said, screw it, and let's try to make another generation of console instead of just like, hey, let's add this on and call it Wii U?
Well, this is the first in the line. I think it was PlayStation. It was either PlayStation or Xbox. They were asking about future games for the next console, and nobody would deny it, but nobody would say anything about it. So it's obvious that it was in the making.
They finally gave a name for the next Wii, next 360.
360, yeah.
I don't know what it is, but apparently they finally gave it. It's not going to be like 720 or, you know, 1080 or something like that.
Oh, is it Nexbox or something weird like that?
Nexus or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was Nexus.
Bill Gates' balls or something?
Yeah, Bill Gates' testicles on it. But
Bill Gates' money bags.
But as a conversation that I've had previous with Tag and stuff like that, I do kind of agree with your whole concept as we should just get a box that just live streams all the actual video games right there and then, because we do have the internet capabilities now, not like how we used to do it when we had, like, the Sega Genesis set up and they were trying to, like, you could play Earthworm Jim off of it, fucking stupid phone cord. But, I mean, now we have the internet capabilities that everything is just going to be live streamed or like Steam.
Now, instead of actually having, like, the game on your Xbox or whatever, all it does is connect to the internet.
Yeah, and play
basically
it
streams what the game is, and the controller input for what you push goes over server. And now I pay monthly to have this system, and it's automatically updated no matter what. So now I don't have to buy another console. I just have my streaming thing, and every now and then the graphics seem to get better. And it would be amazing when it gets to that. It's just, when are they going to start going? Everybody, these consoles, it's the arcade times and the like. you start seeing like gimmicks coming to try to sell the console. It's the first signs of the death of the idea of the console and the home entertainment system and mobile gaming and the ability to stream things is the future, and Microsoft and everybody else want to cling to the consoles for every last penny they can get.
I'm just hoping it gets to that point. I know this is a movie, but gets to the point of where it's like the gamer, where you could just walk into your room and the whole room is like the entertainment. You can watch like movies in like 100, and like about 270 degrees. Like you don't have to worry about like turning around to see like the whole thing.
They have windows now that can actually project like some basic graphics on it. And look, Apple went out and they made a whole goddamn table now that's pretty much a TV. So.
Well, I mean, Microsoft was able to do that with their first like electronic table that actually you could put your phone on there and you could take pictures out and you could transfer it to another electronic device if you take pictures with the camera, you put it on there and you could just move it over. It's amazing what we could do. But yet, we still haven't gotten to a point where we're better in technology. I feel like we've just been just waiting in shit. We just keep fucking doing the same.
It's not that we're better. It's that the prices are so high. And all this stuff comes out and it's being sold at a premium. And nobody's going to buy it until it's in a reasonable price.
Consumer electronics is like the worst it could ever be now, I think. It's just, you know, they put up these awesome TVs or they tell us about like the OLED TVs that are now going to be coming out. And they're fucking paper thin and they're basically indestructible and whatnot. And
you're not going to see that for 20 years.
We're probably not going to be able to see that for the next 5 to 10 years or whatnot because of the fact that that TV is going to be so far advanced. But now
agreed.
Now like saying like King Baby Ducks, it got his TV here. That TV right now, how much did you get that for? What, $800?
No, I got that for $300.
All right, well, let's just say, like, at the time when that was advanced, you know, at the time, that was probably, like, a grand TV, and it's, you know, like, a 42-incher, and, you know, whatever. It's just one of those things where if you do wait that time period, it's going to come down in price, and there's going to be that, you know, the black sale. It takes forever, but it's going to be the black sale that they have, like, you know, or
Black Fridays.
It's going to come down to those days where, you know, the holidays come down and they're trying to get rid of all their shit electronics because they're tired of looking at them.
You're buying the older generation. Yeah. Prices are going so slow and it's the same idea. Japan now, if you were in Japan a while back, when we were just starting to look at tethering with cell phones and I could use my cell phone as a router and I could connect my computer to it and the like, Japan had that for free for at least 5 years now. Our cell phone providers made the wonderful idea of charging more for it and locking out that feature so you can't use it. And how long are we going to last with this until these companies get, like, Congress lifts all these bans and lets them actually have competition? And it's the U.S. is always slow with that. So just look at Japan and go, in 5 to 10 years, we'll have it eventually.
Yeah, agreed.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So. All right, on that note, I think we can either move on.
All right, the final subject. What's the next game that you guys are looking forward to the most for these next 6 months?
Who wants to go first? Everybody already knows.
Fuck it, I'll go first. Even though you've shat all over EA and whatnot, I think I'll take on the whole concept of Medal of Honor Advanced Warfighter. Although...
What has there been a Medal of Honor game since way back in PS1 that was actually fun? Back when you could shoot a Nazi in the knee and it'd suffer on the ground, you could shoot him two or three more times in the other knee. Suffer on the ground before it died.
There was always the fun one where they had the
fate of all Nazis. That should be of all Nazis. I just said
that. You could just make people suffer, and that was the best part of that game. And then they turned it into a COD competitor, and it hasn't been good ever since.
And honestly, what's the difference between Medal of Honor and Battlefield?
I've been trying to figure that out myself, but...
Are we talking about old Medal of Honor or new Medal of Honor?
The new Medal of Honor.
Nothing, pretty much.
Well, that's
everything
EA
is a copy of COD.
Battlefield 3 has almost the same backing. Like, they have Frostbite 2 and stuff like that to make the game engine go.
The only reason I respect Battlefield more than COD is the size of the maps are amazing compared to COD.
Yes, yeah.
Plus the integration with vehicles, it really is a different style of play to be able to say, in COD I'm running around for like 15 minutes and shooting at random people in a small map, where in Battlefield, or at least in the PC version, I'm sitting there, it's like, I'm tired of shooting, I'm going to jump in this jet and fly around and try to bomb people on the ground.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. That's
where it gets a little
worse. You hop into helicopters, you can do all that other stuff, but with the advance, I mean, with Medal of Honor, when I played the recent one, I was kind of intrigued because of the fact that it gave us a little bit more of an insight of how Afghanistan was, because they actually used real soldiers and they tried to base it on like the actual true stories of soldiers that went into that aspect. So I gave it more on their the aspect that they actually like put time and effort into the storyline and whatnot, but yet it did feel like it was kind of short. But now this Advanced Warfighter, it might just be another add-on. It might not be like Medal of Honor 2 or something like that now. But I kind of look forward to that. I can't really see anything else. I mean, yes, like I said, I might put money down on Call of Duty Black Ops, but yet I'm not entirely enthused about it, but yet it's just one of those...
I do not want to give them money, but I'm going to do it anyway.
That's what I'm saying. But that's what it is. It's like, I'm like, oh God, I'm going to pay for it, and it's gonna bite me in the ass. I know it.
Come
just
on,
is.
Activision, just put it in my butt, and it'll be all over with it.
Well, I bought Madden last year.
Did you at least wait 3 years to update your copy of Madden?
No. Yes. Actually, 5 years. And I only bought it because a friend of mine from California offered to split the price with me because he wanted to play somebody online. So... Yeah. So,
if you could do that, then you're fine.
Hey, yeah. Do you guys want to know when the last time I bought a Madden game was?
I think I have it.
Never.
2001.
I think I have like the 2004, 2005 one or something like that. Still collecting dust.
Still to this day, the Genesis versions of Live and Madden were the best versions. That's when EA were trying. Those were some of the best games made.
Do you remember World Series Baseball on Sega Genesis?
Oh, absolutely.
Those were the best fucking baseball games ever.
That, and I personally, I mentioned
it. It was like, oh my god, it talks to you.
But Baseball Stars 1 for the regular Nintendo was my favorite game because it had the role-playing baseball aspect where you could make your own players and then pay them a salary and have to play the season to make money to power them up. So
I'm watching my roommate play the new NBA game, 2K10 or 12, or I don't even know what they're calling it. But sitting there watching every now and then, you want to play? You want to play? I'm sitting there, it's like, until this turns into the old NBA Jam 1995, I'm not going to touch it. And whatever happened to sports games like that that were so far out, it's like, I can do this move, and I can dunk from half court.
Okay, I want to mention, because I do have the recent NBA Jam game on the Wii, and while it captured the original NBA Jam, it still just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
So. Absolutely. I mean, that game feels perfect in the arcade or with a Genesis controller in your hand. There's just certain games that it's the kinesthetic feel of like holding that, you know, holding it that of that time when you played it. I mean, you can't recreate something like that. It feels false to a certain extent.
I will play a sports game again when you can come to me, and instead of saying this is the most realistic game I played, you say this is the funnest game, and they sacrifice all this crap realism idea for actually making a game that's fun. I do not care if you can't do it in reality. It's fun.
Which is weird because...
I have to say the Tricky game that came out this year really captures, it was fun. I had a lot of
fun. Yeah, SSX Tricky is fun, but yet there are a lot of my friends that have come over and tried to play it, and they go, why can't I play this game? But with me, sometimes I just naturally pick up games and I can just go with it.
Yeah, and I do have to say I do love the new NFL Blitz game that came out for Xbox Live Arcade. That was one of the ones that really captured the original... the original one that came out for Nintendo 64 back in the day, and still felt fun, and it still felt fresh, and I loved it.
Well, how about Trials? Trials Evolution. That's yet again another one of those fun games that you could play all you want, except for the music aspect of this new game. That was the worst fucking thing of it. But the Trials game itself is fun because they created it so you could do map building, you could do all this other fun, all this amazing stuff to the game. So I give it to them on that one because that's kind of like a new, like, you know, spectrum of like motorcycle racing on the from a side view, basically.
Yep.
But, yeah, that's what I have to say about that, even though I was made fun of and we kind of went on a tangent. So, anybody else want to say what they want for...
Well, you were the first, so...
Guinea pig.
Thanks, fuckers.
Okay, how about you, Issues Guy?
Okay, my pick... Now, I picked this game at the beginning of the year as my most anticipated title for 2012. But then, recently, when I was doing the research for this podcast... I realized that it got bumped up to 2013, but I don't.
Oh.
I'm gonna pretend I'm ignorant and don't know about that.
That's ignorant.
It is the new South Park Stick of Truth game. I am freaking pumped about this game. It takes two of my favorite things, South Park and the crazy minds of Matt and Trey, were really hands on with this game, and the creators of KOTAR 2, which is even with some of its faults, are one of my favorite role playing games I've ever played. So I'm pumped. And I don't care if it's coming out this year or next year. It's my most hyped game. And, I mean, but to truly answer the question to a realistic way, it's South Park. I can't wait. But no, it's the Wii U as a whole thing. But my problem here, and I mentioned this earlier when we were talking about the Wii U, is that there isn't one game I'm super excited about to play. I'm still going to pre-order the system. Like I'm the same as Blue with the Call of Duty games. I can't control it. Nintendo has me by the balls.
It's just an impulse. God damn it.
Nintendo system comes out. I pre-order it. Get it. It's happened since Super Nintendo. My mother bought me a regular Nintendo, but since every other Nintendo system, I've bought in myself. And it comes out. I'm going to be a 60-year-old man tumbling over the king going, I want the Wii 99. and be playing that shit, you know. So to really answer the question, it's the Wii U as a system, and I'll pick one of the random games. I'm excited to play Zombie U. I want to see if they can bring a bloody, gory zombie game, or if I just want to. I know they're not designing the game. I know it's Ubisoft, but I want to play that kind of a game on a Nintendo console. So.
I just looked back at the list again, but I kind of want to say Hitman Absolution, but yeah, that's the issue with this. It's like also with Need for Speed Most Wanted, they're at that focal point where they could just get pushed. So I'm saying maybe Hitman Absolution would be one of my other choices because that is the game aspect that they've added to it or have told us they added to it has been like more stealth and more like you can pick if you want to go and stealth through the whole thing or just lay waste to the whole fuckers in the room. And I like that concept. So that might be one of the other things. Who's next?
I'll go next.
Tag, do you want to go next or go last?
No, I'll go last. I got
See, I almost went with Issues Guy with the whole Wii U thing, but then I wanted to try more for just a regular game, not for a console.
Yeah, I understand.
A new game from Bethesda called Dishonored.
Ooh.
It's looking to be like a great blend of Assassin's Creed and Bioshock.
Mm.
And it uses these unique ways to assassinate people. And, like in the new Hitman Absolution game, you can either go completely stealth, or you can go all guns blazing and kill everything and everyone around you.
Awesome. I like choice, being able to do that. That's one of the things I like about the Arkham City games, is being able to do stealth or just go in there and beat the crap out of everybody.
Right.
Yep.
Now, I first saw this game at E3. I purposely did not do any research before going into like the whole presentation that they were going to do to it, because I wanted to be surprised.
And you wanted to have the questions right there and then.
Well, no, I wasn't prepared.
No, that's what it is. Is sometimes I get that inspiration that, you know what, if I go in there with no knowledge of whatsoever, so I don't have, you know, any prior knowledge, I go in there and they start doing that, and I'll be like, you know what, I got a really good question. What about this? Because sometimes right there and then, not I mean, I don't always go by the seat of my pants, but I just always like that concept is if I don't know what the hell's going on, and then you go and show me something, and that kind of, like, feeds the juices of what kind of game, like, what also you're going to give to us. Yep. Even though they're kind of like, I can't state what I can, you know, what you just asked in that question.
Right.
Because of the fact that everything's under lock and key.
So. Yep. What's cool about this game is, like, you can like, warp into other people and take control of them, so they can either be the ones that assassinate someone else, or you could just have... You can warp into the person you're supposed to assassinate and make it look like he just committed suicide.
Fantastic.
You can... One of my favorite things, the one thing that just made me sit, like, go onto the edge of my seat, you can summon the plague and watch a bunch of rats eat people.
Oh, awesome. Splinter, eat that fat bastard.
Yes. And it all takes place in this beautiful-looking steampunk world, and I'm hoping that this game will be a long, great gaming experience.
Yeah, but the Big B always likes to make really long, long games, historically, so...
Yeah, Bethesda is pretty good at that.
Just to bring back the South Park. They're
80, actually, 90 hours.
Yeah, they're the people working with Matt and Trey designing the new South Park game.
I'm surprised that they haven't, like, Matt and Trey have any time whatsoever, because between South Park and,
Book of Mormon, their
musical there, the Book of Mormons. I'm just like, how the hell were they able to do or have life?
Well, between
in general?
Just South Park, because it takes seven, and they make each episode in 7 days, so it's like, well, when do they have time?
Do you see the documentary on Netflix? That was
7 days to air.
Yeah, that was so awesome. That was amazing. I couldn't recommend. I know this is a little off subject, but I couldn't recommend that highly enough to any South Park fan. It's on Netflix Insta Stream right now. Called Stays to Air, 7 Days to Air. It's really awesome. Really awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
Tag.
I'm going to say two, both of which the people who hang around with me, Blue and Duck, there know. You get shot glasses and gear and stuff for one of them. They're both free games, too.
You know what? Shut up and stop rubbing it in, all right?
Yeah. No, I got everybody gear from this crew. We met them at PAX East, the crew from Firefall.
Yes.
And funny enough, both of these are shooters. This, just to give a quick overview, if you want to look, I know we got a semi-review for this one, along with an audio interview on this. You're looking at a first-person shooter, third-person shooter, because nobody on the team could determine exactly what it should be, so they just put both in, game that you can have. You can play different classes and the like, the same as Team Fortress 2, so you can be a medic, or you can be, you know, your heavy weapons guy, or a scout. And the idea of it is, it has a PvP aspect where you run around your normal capture the flag arena, but then it's also an overworld map that you have that you can face against the environment a lot more like an MMO, and that these enemy factions that are in the place can take over towns, and you and the community will have to fight to get back towns. There'll be events to unlock more sections on the map. There's this weird electrical fog that's caused from an accident that happened, and you and the rest of the people who are online will push this back and unlock more of the map. And it can come, so it's very focused over community events. And it's going to be really interesting to see how this game plays out with interaction with people. And the fact that if you don't like to face people in a first-person shooter in PvP matches, you can always harvest resources and build stuff and run around with a group of friends playing it more co-op or more solo on the PvE side. Nice. So, and it's free to play too, which is looking great, and most of which, the stuff that I'm seeing, it looks like, is going to be cosmetic that you pay for. So if you want to make your character look cooler, then you're going to be doing that. It's, thank God, not by power.
Is there a Mac option?
I think we asked that. I think they said if the demand is high enough, they will port it to Mac.
Excellent. Good. Excellent.
Good. I do not know if we got a definite answer.
They definitely a lot. I feel left out by a lot of games, unfortunately.
So just get a signature thing. You know, get a signature thing started so that we can send it over to Firefall and be like, "Here, we got signatures. You guys got to make them now for Mac."
That guy was cool when I was talking to him, and I knew enough about them that they were all excited to talk back with me, because they, when this whole thing went down with the rating systems and all this other stuff with banning video games in California and stuff, they went and went all the Electronic Entertainment Expo, the group there that runs E3. They said, we're not going to show our game at E3 because you guys went against us. And even after the E3, the group changed their mind. They said, we no longer support you. We're not going to show at E3 still. So the pure fact that they are also game enthusiasts and that their president allowed them to do that, I thought was quite amazing. So I have to give props, one, for them. And the other one is also obvious to everybody else that's heard me talk. It's going to be PlanetSide 2, which is another free-to-play game. For those of you who don't know about PlanetSide, the background with the original was take the idea of a COD or Battlefield map and multiply it by about 5,000. You're going to have a humongous continent, which is literally 5-6 square miles. You're going to fight battles on that continent. This isn't going to be your normal small fights that, you know, it's going to be Battlefield's amazing 61 players on a map at the same time. Original PlanetSide, I don't know what 2 is going to boast, but the original PlanetSide was literally, I think, 300-350 people playing on a map at a time. And this one, they say, is going to be more. So until I hear a limit for this, this is hundreds of people versus hundreds of people with three different factions. So there's going to be three-way battles with hundreds of people fighting. And when you see it, when the night and day cycles change and you see tracer rounds blowing by you and tank shells and planes fighting over your head and you feel like you're in some futuristic war that's going on, and it literally... The footage when you're showing of people bombing Iraq and all the tracer rounds going up and stuff, when you're playing this game, if you're looking at the sky, it looks like that. It looks like a
menage a trois of death.
And you're crapping your pants.
But both sides can fight back, and we're not just whooping the crap out of one. So. I see the battle footage of that game and everything that they've released, and I can say right now that the game is amazing. So.
But they feel like it might be able to finish by the end of this year?
I believe they are shooting for that. I know they should be moving into beta soon, if not already. I don't know the exact stage of what they're calling what they're doing, so... We're hopefully... I think they're aiming for around Christmas, which will be great. People will have money and be willing. I don't know too much about their microtransactions, but I know from what, if you look at all the interviews and stuff, I know I keep on pointing out, I watch Total Biscuits interviews on YouTube all the time with them, and they're supporting them. They've shown all different types of texture packs, and there is a bacon skin for a tank. If you want your tank to be covered in bacon, or money, or little hearts, I love his Liberator. He made a Liberator, which is a bomber. He covered it in little hearts and called it the Loverator. So it was classic. I'm the game is literally, if you want to see what a real war game would be like, not just small skirmishes on the ground, this would be all, it's all out chaos. And everything about it is glorious. So, and I think we were talking about earlier players being dicks online and the like.
Yes.
You can get together with your friends, you can join a squad. People are not going to say you are not pulling your weight. And if you're not killing many people, switch to the medic and run around healing. Everybody loves a medic. So I mean, and the pure fact, leading squads will give the person leading the squad more points. So it's like, the more people, regardless of what you do, the more people together, the better you're going to do overall. So, and it's a great team play game and everything else. And like I said with the other one, this is free also. I can't say as to the microtransactions other than the skins what they're going to do with it, but we'll see where it goes.
Awesome.
Humongous first-person shooters, because I've been stuck in an RTS and RPG rut, so I need to shoot things.
All right, and on that note, let's stick a fork in this special podcast.
How fucking many hours have we done it? Like 4 hours now?
We've been about 2 hours and 24 minutes, plus we open, so we're looking, at around 2 hours, 10.
It's about like watching Dances with Wolves.
We are watching Titanic right now. Sadly, there are no titties in this. If we put titties in this, it's like the introduction. It would pretty much be...
In blue, sing your best Celine Dion, and then we're...
Yes.
That's not me.
Let you go. Oops, my finger slipped. oh, crap. Oh, well, I guess I get an inheritance.
All right.
You fucker.
Okay. Remember.
We got to do this again soon.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Visit our website at b3crew.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. If you want to write to us, you can reach us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter, king_baby_duck. Blog's under Blavonic. Tag is under tag8669.
Yep, and I barely ever update it. I don't think I've updated or looked at it in quite some time.
Fuck Twitter.
If more people join, follow me on Twitter, then I'll actually do stuff. But right now, it's pretty much just the B3 crew.
Yeah, you can find out things just like penis, or boobs, or, yes, or penis.
Hashtag penis.
No. I can you to amazing.
Okay, I can definitely tell you this. If Tag is over your house, do not leave your computer on or open. He will put the cock it rocket has you on your background.
Hey, I'm pretty good at drawing things in MS Paint. All right. Well, the Issues Guy, I'm guessing, has too.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at I Got Issues Man. Search on Facebook under The Issues Guy. You can find most of my podcasts and other videos under Issues Radio Program or The Issues Guy, because Google Plus and YouTube combined. So now my username is not really my username. It's my profile name. So I don't understand. Whichever way, that's usually where I post stuff. And I'm usually live every Thursday night around 6 or 7 p.m. for shout-outs so we can be a part of the live broadcast. And yeah, that's me. I might have a website up soon. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I was about to ask about that.
I don't know anything about it. I heard that I was supposed to see an update of it one day, and it never happened. And I haven't heard about it since. So we'll see about that, folks.
People are going to die. No, just kidding.
Yes, people are dying. But anyways, get to the chopper. Get to the chopper, yes. Max.
Who's your daddy? What does he do?
Oh, it's not a tumor.
It's not a tumor.
That's the best mind fuck yet, Cole Hagan.
Fuck you, asshole.
Give these people air. Sorry, I'm stuck.
All right, now we're on.
Tumor, man, doll.
We should probably end this.
Yeah, let's end this while we still have some kind of sanity. Yes. I got to drive home at some point.
Yeah, so until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
Blue Onyx.
Tag.
Issues Guy.
Reminding you, you don't have to be a from Boston to be a bastard.
But it sure helps, because you fuck that up so badly.
Oh, good job.